Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 111 of the Xbox Hall of Gamers podcast. This week, I'm joined by Cameron.
Hey, hey.
And Keo.
Hey, everyone.
This week, Xbox is over. We're done. This is the final episode. We're packing it in. We're burning our consoles. The worst has come upon us. It's all over. I mean, like, if you didn't watch the podcast, what were you doing? I mean,
I didn't watch the podcast. I was listening to Twitter.
Oh yeah, the same thing. Basically the same thing. If you listen to Twitter, basically everything is coming to PlayStation now. Every single game ever made is now coming to PlayStation. For those
now, if you haven't actually listened in, he's being sarcastic, right?
Very
now.
Sarcastic.
Yeah,
although I wouldn't blame you because Matt talks very sarcastically.
This is just my normal speaking voice.
I'm looking forward to all those Xbox Platinum trophies.
Yeah, exactly right. As always, we're doing the show live on Twitch. Come say hi. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us. You know, come hang out in the chat. My wife is making fun of our headsets at the moment in there.
Know what they say about headsets.
What?
You know, I don't.
No, yeah, I have no idea. I don't think we have any questions this week, so I think we're just going to get straight into the news. Cameron, I'll let you do the honors because you've done an amazing job here.
All right. So we're giving Isaac, going back to questions, we're just giving Isaac a break this week, you know.
Yeah, he's given us a break.
He's put an annual leave in.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess for those that aren't aware, the Xbox did a podcast this morning with Matt Booty, Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond. We covered it about 12 hours ago. We woke up nice and early for it. Matt, extremely early at 9 a.m.
Yeah, yep, yep.
But yeah, essentially it was... Everything isn't doom and gloom. They're going to be bringing four games to rival platforms, Nintendo and PlayStation. We're under the belief that it is Grounded, Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush, and Pentiment.
Yeah, that Grounded is the only one that we're not 100% sure about, right? Because I think
Tom Warren has confirmed it.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's basically said that those are the ones, but Xbox hasn't confirmed it themselves.
Yeah, and they haven't confirmed when or even what platforms, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Like, Phil Spencer very specifically said they weren't going to say which games because they wanted to give them their own sort of launch windows and announcement times and stuff, which kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So we did a live reaction this morning, and there was a few things that, there was a few things, like, as we were watching the moment, it was very corporate speak. It was very calculated how they were answering these questions. Looking back at it, like, they didn't... They asked the question, like, you know, will you see Indiana Jones or Starfield on rival platforms? And basically made it sound like that wasn't the case. But then reading through this Verge article today said, we're not going to rule things out.
They're not ruling anything out, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else from the podcast this morning?
Just that they kind of reiterated some of the stuff that they basically went down the checklist of the rumors. They didn't get out the list, but they basically said they're like, hey, things are still coming day one to Game Pass. It's mostly and they basically made a point to say, and they again, plans change, these things change, right? But they basically made a point to say that the four games that they are bringing over are games that have been on the platform for at least a year. And have found some success, but potentially may have wider success with two live service games and two smaller games. So that's Pentiment.
Yeah, and Game Pass would specifically stay on Xbox.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they pretty much went down and were like, yeah, we're still doing this. We're still doing this. Like, this isn't changing. We're still doing hardware. They said they're going to have more hardware to talk about later in the year. What that looks like, they were pretty. Mm-hmm. They just said, we're doing hardware. We're not leaving the game. So they basically just went through and systematically were like, yeah, no, this rumor is untrue. This rumor is untrue. Like, it's,
There was a little bit of information that we also got out of it. 34 million people Game Pass.
Game Pass
but they found out that number also included Core.
Oh, interesting.
So
Okay.
Tom Warren did follow that up. It does include core members. So that would have
Okay.
been the swap ever since
Yes.
as well. And yeah,
I wonder
Sarah
how many
Bond.
people were on gold as opposed to being on Game Pass. It's kind of a before the Switch, basically. Like how many did that add is kind of what I'm thinking.
I'm wondering if it was just a few million then.
It's probably not a huge amount, right? Like if you think about it, like either you don't pay for Game Pass, or you're like you don't play online, so you don't care. Or chances are you probably pay for Game Pass and get thing included. I don't know. It's
I'd be interested to know what the breakup is between like Game Pass, like just standard and your ultimate subscription. Because I believe most people just go with core.
Yeah, I imagine.
I
Yeah.
think they averaged out like $9, $10 a month spent.
Yeah,
But
roughly.
anyway, getting into this, we'll get into this Verge article because the podcast this morning was very corporate speak. I believe Tom Warren did a much better job with the articles that he did with Phil Spencer going through the questions. Essentially, Tom Warren from The Verge did an article providing a level of clarity to the business update. The rumor is that the four games coming to the other platforms are Grounded, Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, and Hi-Fi Rush. One thing that I put on here that I kind of just slipped to my mind was the fact that Grounded and Hi-Fi Rush have been, in the case of Grounded, confirmed to be having a TV show, animated
Oh,
TV
okay.
show.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yep, that was a while ago, remember? And then there was also talk back in February last year that if they did a sequel to Hi-Fi Rush, he would the director of the game would want to do it as a TV show rather than
Interesting. Okay. I mean,
another
it definitely
game.
has that
Right,
kind of
right.
element to it, like the
Yeah.
way that game, yeah, like cinematically. Yeah, I get you saying.
So in terms of those two games, more transmedia, like is it building up that community a little bit further to help back those projects?
I mean, yeah, I mean, Microsoft own it, right? So they'll make money hand over fist of any sort of outside of game sales stuff, like, merchandising and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'm sure with Pentiment, it would just be a case of Tom Sawyer probably just wants to bring Pentiment to as many people as possible.
Which I'm totally in support of. Pentiment is a f absolutely fucking fantastic game, but it also needs to see a wider audience.
And then Sea of Thieves, it would just be, I guess it would be like the microtransaction model and that kind of stuff,
Yeah.
which I'm not too sure if Sea of Thieves has. Like, they got cosmetic items in that, but I think
Yeah,
that's the
they do.
extent. But
Well, they got a lot
I
of stuff in Sea of
mean,
Thieves, but they also have like a
yeah.
bunch of DLC packs and a lot of updates, and there's a lot of content in there.
Boosting numbers and all that. It's funny, the amount of people that I've seen after this being more receptive just be like, yeah, of course, like the Sony Ponies. It's just like the hardcore Sea of Thieves players that are going to be on. They're just going to absolutely troll them. It's fine. Anyway, moving along, when question on Starfield and Indiana Jones coming to PS5, Phil said, as an industry, we shouldn't rule out a game to any other platform. They're focused on the first, four first, and we'll learn from the experience. They also don't want to mislead consumers on other platforms.
He was kind of walking the tightrope on this one because he kind of said that these first four are kind of a test case to see if they make enough money. Because the thing is, he also points out, like, hey, they still need to port these things. Like, that there's still development work that needs to happen to these games to port them to other platforms. They don't just magically show up one day with an announcement date.
Yeah, I believe they've got a lot more PS dev kits now, actually, and stuff like that to work with. So, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some talk there around like justifying the cost of actually doing the dev work, and then also how much revenue that brings in versus how much it potentially damages the Xbox brand, quote unquote. You know,
Because
there's, yeah.
it might just be the case that these games just don't, like, they're just not popular on the platforms.
Yeah, potentially like this might just be the end of it. They might just not sell at all, and they might just say, fuck it, and just not bother with it.
Because, like, obviously they've tried that stuff with I know they don't technically own it, but they helped develop it, Ori and Cuphead.
They published Ori, yeah, exactly, and Minecraft obviously as well.
Most of the games are going to be done in Unreal Engine now too, so they'll translate over super easy. So, yeah.
But he also said that like this isn't like the Dam Buster thing where like four of them go over and then suddenly the flood gets open and they just release everything if it does well. They're like it's very much. It sounds like it's very much going to be like a case by case basis, and I don't think that we're going to be able to go, oh, that game's coming out. That's definitely coming to PlayStation. And we're going to be like, we'll see. You know, I think like they got to take into account performance. They got to take into account dev time. Like, and if they're releasing them a year after they come out on Xbox, you know, that gives them time to look at like, hey, did this make enough money for us to justify just keeping it on Xbox? Is it still making money? Does it have a long tail? Do we want to do DLC, et cetera, et cetera? The same conversations that you would have if you were going to do a sequel.
there was a, pardon me, there was also a discussion about taking the feedback of the most ardent fans seriously, as well as committing and recognizing and respecting the library of games people had purchased on the platform. This ties into Xbox Play Anywhere, giving you a PC and console entitlement when you purchase a game. I mean, yeah, just reiterating that, you know, you've bought into this ecosystem, we're going to support you. Which, I mean, you got like Nintendo. There's a case example of like what can happen if that isn't the case. Tom asked about the FTC versus Microsoft case where Phil testified putting Xbox games on PlayStation meant that Sony could use the 30% to try to basically, so basically the 30% they get for the cut to try to basically kill or undermine Xbox in certain ways. When asked why he wants more games on the platform, if that was the case, he said maybe this is why we're doing four. They want to learn about what happens, and they do believe it will benefit the games that they're putting there. If the net result is that other things limit the growth, then they will think more carefully about how to support those platforms. I'm a bit more cautious with that because if it is the case that they've seen this happen in the past,
Well,
I
no,
don't.
like the I don't like I honestly don't think there is any hard evidence that this has ever really happened. Because this was still this is Phil Spence,
Wasn't oh well not maybe that the money was linked, but then they could you could make the assumption though that they're using money for like Minecraft and that kind of stuff to fuel
like money
keeping
hatting stuff,
like money hatting Silent Hill 2, like Silent Hill 2 and Final Fantasy 7 were the ones that we saw
Well,
have
don't Sony own Bloober Team now anyway?
I don't think
No,
they own.
they're not yet. That's right. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. I think that sure, but like it's one of those things where it's like, how do you draw the line between those two things? How can you say that this money that they earned here directly correlates to what they did here, and then they wouldn't have done it if they didn't have the money? Like, it's I think it's one of those things that during the case, Phil Spencer's like, hey, they could be doing this thing. We have no evidence that they are doing it, but they could do it, and they still could. Like you know.
I think it comes back down to like the I'm okay to share my toys if you share your toys kind of value. I like I'm all for more game. Sorry. I'm more I'm happy if more gamers get to play Pentiment, they get to play Hi-Fi Rush and all
Yeah, I
that kind
agree.
of stuff. I hate the mentality though that Sony can just money hat these exclusives that are third parties and like Silent Hill 2, I'm not really that interested in be, like that whole
I mean, I love Silent Hill, but
I mean you love Silent Hill, but do you love Silent Hill made by Bloober Team?
that's, yeah,
Is
that's
the question I
everyone's
would
take
ask.
on it. Yeah, exactly. The thing that I was going to say was that if you have a look at what Sony was going to do with 10 live service games over X amount of years, and they were backing, they were starting to taper off a little bit of stuff like that, like The Last of Us Factions game is kind of basically
It's
dead.
done.
I don't. Is done. But I mean, there was talk on like if Sony's going to have these games, they have to be multi-platform to actually survive, like in the long term anyway. So like some of these things just have to go multi-platform to get any kind of ground. And looking at the stuff that Xbox have, they don't have any live service games except for Fallout 76 and
Yeah, and you
Elder
could maybe,
Scrolls.
yeah,
They're
you could,
both.
like upcoming, do you mean, or
Yeah,
just in
like
general?
just in
On,
general on the
so
PlayStation
you,
platform, they've got their
oh.
two those two ones that have been out for ever now. They don't have anything new that's actually across on PlayStation. So this is
Yeah,
where we're
so Fallout
potentially looking at.
76.
I mean, they obviously have the other games like Minecraft and stuff, but I don't know if Minecraft crosses over into the Xbox players at all. So, and either way, that's old too. So if all of these live service games, like Xbox has some perfectly serviceable live service games like Grounded that would be perfect everywhere. And we were saying that this morning. So they could use that to new people. And and Sony will just have these new things that may or may not come to Xbox. But if they don't, then that shows how strong the Xbox games are on the PlayStation platform.
Yeah, I think that,
So
well, we've seen that their Sony's commitment for their live service games is to bring them out on PC day and date. That's what happened with Helldivers 2, right? And it's been huge. But it's also the reason why we're not going to see, or we didn't see God of War Ragnarok on PC the same day it came out on PlayStation. They're like, hey, if it's a live service game and we want a lot of people playing it, we'll put it on PC at the same time. But that's as far as they're going right now. That might change in the future, but
Well, Helldivers is a good example at
it's a
the
great
moment.
example. Yeah, I mean that's an amazing live service. It's doing great. I think it's got like 1 million sales already. For an indie title like that is pretty incredible.
I mean, the only negative press around Helldivers was the fact of the games with servers.
Yeah, there's some
No
server
early
issues and
review.
some connection stuff. Yeah.
Moving along. When asked about hardware in the leaked FTC documents, Phil replied, "I don't know about any leaks."
It's
Oh,
pretty
Phil.
funny.
When further questioned about liking tweets of handhelds, he said he is a big fan, but there's nothing to announce. But also stated that we're kind of learning from what Nintendo has done over the years with the Switch. They've been fantastic with that. So when I look at Steam Deck and the ROG and my Legion Go, I'm a big fan of that space. Tom Warren also said out like he's pretty sure that the handhelds are a short thing.
Yeah,
Like
I'm very, yeah.
putting smiles on tweets and that kind of stuff.
I don't.
I know. I could see a reality where an Xbox handheld is fine.
So you mean like something like the like, well, like they already have like a part, they do like a Xbox partnership stuff with Lenovo already, right? So having, I don't know, like having an Xbox branded like handset thing like the Steam Deck, I just doesn't feel right to
The
me.
only thing to me holding it back is the OS. Because you play a ROG Ally and all that, the
Windows is shit
Windows
on a handheld, yeah.
is shit on that kind of thing. It needs to have its own
Yeah, well, the
custom
Xbox
OS.
app on PC now has mobile mode. Like it has
Sure.
a pared down version, and I just use that on PC
If
because the Xbox app itself is just not good. Like without that mode, it would be worse, much worse. So
I would be very surprised if they couldn't come up with a solution that incorporates both the ability to play like an Xbox or a Windows, because the plan is to go Xbox play anywhere,
Yeah, and they
essentially.
reiterated that a shitload on there. They were like, hey, play the stuff everywhere, bring your saves over, bring your games over, bring your, achievements, bring your profile,
So
everything.
I imagine if they do go the handheld route that sorry, the handheld route will basically just see something that is capable of doing both.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you guys is, let's say the handheld is 100% happening. What kind of handheld are we talking about? Because handheld is a pretty broad category now, right? Because you've got something like on one end, which is like the PlayStation Portal, which is like, hey, all it does is allow you to stream, and that's it.
Yeah, and the battery controllers are the same as ex I believe it's exactly the same. They've just split the DualSense in half, and it's just,
Or yeah, okay, hang on, let me finish going. I'll just you have that. You have something that's like a basically like a mobile phone kind of replacement thing, which has like some capabilities and some streaming stuff, like like it runs like, I guess the closest comparison would be maybe like a Switch or like the Nvidia Shield and back in the day and that kind of stuff, where it's like a relatively low powered machine that has streaming capabilities, but you can play some stuff natively on it. And then you get onto like the ROG Ally and Steam Deck, like higher end of the market, like it's the cost of a relatively decent PC, but with some handheld specs and et cetera, et cetera. And then on that, it's like, is it a partnership that like Microsoft is partnering with like a ROG or like a Lenovo or something along those lines to build something along those lines? Or is it, no, this is a Xbox product. This is a Microsoft. This is, again, because there's talk about like the Surface team potentially working on this, right? So is this the Xbox Surface handheld or whatever the fuck you call it?
Well, I have a Surface Pro 8. It runs Death Stranding perfectly fine, just as it is. And like, yeah, I mean, you can totally use like any of the latest surfaces for all that kind of stuff. But you would have to be a little bit more to natively actually get that stuff running to the quality that Xbox has to have it at without it being a streaming platform. But yeah, so I mean, and it runs super hot. So yeah. So, and you've got to take that into account. The only thing that's going to alleviate that is actually for ha to have it as a streaming device. So,
And with their big push into streaming, that's what's the why that's why I'm tempted to be like, I don't know if we're talking about a Steam Deck here. I don't like Yeah, I think we're probably more on the lower end of the thing, where it's like it's more of a streaming device.
But
I don't
they've
know. What do
already
you think?
tried this streaming device before, though, and they didn't push it to market. That's
Well,
the thing that
they didn't
interests
push.
me.
They didn't push it to my. Sure, but.
Because it's got like the TVs and all that. Like, all right. I kind of want to just run out and get tinfoil right now because I have a crazy.
Sure, I want to hear it. I
All
want to hear about the Illuminati
right.
building this fucking streaming device.
All right. So we saw the leaked documents, right? We saw the fact that there was going to be a lower spec version come out. I think it was like the end of quarter three, and then the higher spec version was coming out quarter four, 2025. The
The
leaked plans.
well,
There
hang on.
was like two different codes. There was one that was launching 2 months prior to the other one,
Are you
right?
talking about, well, because they had the like the next gen refresh
This
was
is
the
the next gen stuff.
right. Well, yeah, because you have like the current gen refresh stuff that like is the rumored X Series X with
No,
no disk
this
drive,
is the next
and
gen.
then you have like the stuff that's in like 5 to 7 years or whatever.
I think they'll go next gen. I don't think they'll worry about doing it like a
Yeah,
current gen
I would
refresh.
agree. There's no point in doing it this gen, yeah.
All right, so there's me okay, I'm just basing this off all the stuff floating around, like the feeling that there seems to be like a lot of evidence pointing towards a handheld
Sure.
from what people are checking around. But I mean, it could be anything. I know that there's been a few content creators going crazy with like Starfield's coming and Giz anyway. Wild speculation. Xbox wants an all digital future.
Yes.
I don't think they'll launch both SKUs at the same time. I don't think they'll do a Series X and S and X kind of situation again. I believe they'll do the lower spec version first. I don't even know if it's a lower spec version. I'm just going to say the Switch version. I could
Right.
see them doing a handheld console, all digital. Is a, you know, it's eases off people the physical media, and then they do the like the home console 2 months later.
I just
2 months later, no, because if they're gonna
I'm
have
just I'm
everything,
basing it off the leaks. I'm basing it off the leaks. I'm
Well, to
just
be fair, they
saying.
like he even Phil Spencer said the leaks are massively out of date. But
So
yeah.
yeah, if you're looking at they said like the
But
biggest hardware generational leap, right?
I was going to say,
So
what I'm taking from that though is their strategy was to launch two different SKUs at two different times, even though they
sure.
were 2 months apart.
Yep.
What
Well,
if the possibility was their next gen, they didn't talk anything about like power or anything. They just said massive leap.
okay.
But like what is that leap? Is it graphics? Is it
Well, that's what
how
I
you
was going to say.
play?
Yeah, it's not necessarily power because everything has to be in line with, across platforms and stuff like that, building for the same stuff without pushing developers too far in one direction and that they can't support another
So,
platform because then they won't build for Xbox because they need to support the mass market.
So their
So.
strategy is getting as many people to play anyway. Like, it's like anything is an Xbox, any screen is an Xbox. Why not then build your Switch thing, but also build your higher end performance, like build your home device console and then limit that hardware based on the handheld. So that it runs on both. You don't have the same issues where developers can't do it for Series S. It's not pushing the generation forward in terms of power, but then they're both consoles have a parity between them.
But the thing is, they won't, and they can't. That's the thing is that, like, I don't see them getting into a situation. And Keo, I want you to chime in on this as well, right? I don't see them getting into another situation where they do a Series S and Series X and end up in a situation where developers are coming out and saying, "Yeah, they won't like if these things are going to continue to have parity." That's the key thing, right?
Yep.
This is what I'm saying, though. I don't think it will be a case where one outshines the other anymore. It will be
Yeah,
there on
but
the
that's what I'm
global
saying is that
plane.
like that's not possible. Because the thing is that if you have a home console that is the same power as the handheld version, you don't need the home console anymore. If the home if you're talking about like a Switch device, right? And
Yeah.
it's the mobile or it's the the handheld with a dock, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
the Nintendo strategy.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the console, right? Nintendo didn't come out with a, oh, it's just the docked version, right? Because then it's like, well, then you're like, oh, is it more powerful? And you're like, oh, no, it's the same. It has to run the same hardware as the Switch one. So we just stopped. We just took the functionality out of it and didn't add anything.
But Switch went in the opposite direction, though. They did the Lite, and then they made that as a complete portable with no home
Sure,
console.
yeah, that's what I'm
What's
saying. But
not to say that Xbox does the opposite way, though, and makes
it
one the
doesn't
down is
work the
free?
opposite way, is what I'm saying. Is that because if you make something handheld, there's an excuse to make it weaker because it has
Yeah.
portability, right? But you can't say, okay, well, the handheld can't be the benchmark because then that invalidates the fact that it's like, well, what do I gain from having the home console version? Like
Yeah.
explain it to me. Like, what is the actual use of it?
I know plenty of people that have the full version of the Switch that
Myself
always
included.
keep it docked and don't actually take it anywhere. I don't know, because they don't go anywhere sometimes. And then I've got plenty of people with just the light that go, I wish I could plug this into a TV. So, like, people do want the home console experience, but there's not going to be, there's a, you're not going to have both. I don't think we're going to get both again. We can't.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think they can. I think I can't think that. I don't. Well, okay. If they do it, they can't. I can't see them doing. Okay, they both like the games have to run exactly the same on both devices. Because then it's going to be like, so
Yeah,
you have
this,
your hand. Yeah, your handheld
yeah.
version is always going to have to be weaker than the home console. Otherwise, the home console doesn't have a reason to exist. If the Series S and the Series, if the Series S, and the Series X were the same power and it was down like the Series X got dragged down to the Series S and the only real difference was the hard drive size and the fact that the Series X is a disk drive, I would have just bought a Series S because I was like, well, it's the same power and I don't use the disk drive, but I got the Series X because it's more powerful. And like the, and that the, they've been reiterated they reiterated that in this interview, right? They're like, the best place to play these games is still going to be on the home console Xbox. Like they were really, really clear about that. Now, what that home console experience looks like for next gen, who the fuck knows, right? But I can't see them if I can't see them either time if they're going to do a handheld, it needs to be or potentially even like a separate SKU, like in terms of like they can't be on parity. And I'm wondering if it's like if it's
Well, one of the things, okay, go.
I want to just add one caveat in here, yeah. Xbox One does console streaming all that. What if there's like edge cases where particular games are just the console streamed ones on that device?
Yeah, sure. That's what I mean. But that's not parity, right? That's the thing is that like you can't. There's no like currently the Series S plays every single game. The Series X plays identically. I mean,
With the
obviously,
exception of like Baldur's Gate
Baldur's
and
Gate.
like
There's like
those
a
kind of games.
couple of exceptions, but like 99.9% of the cases, right? If we get to a stage where the handheld is like, I mean, because like the Switch already does this, where it's like, if you want to play like Kingdom Hearts, they're like, yeah, you have to play it cloud. You have to like you like it doesn't have the Like there are already games on the Switch that are cloud only, basically. And people got up in arms about it, but the developers were like, it's a fucking Switch. This is an ancient piece of technology that's handheld. Like we have to make concessions. And the only way we can have something running like that is cloud. And given Microsoft's investment in cloud and given that Azure is their biggest moneymaker, I could definitely see a thing where they're like, yeah, like we're putting out a handheld and it'll play a bunch of the games and anything it won't play natively, you can stream. If you want to play everything natively, you need to get the home console. I could definitely see them doing that. Like I think that would make a lot of sense. How you develop from that, how you
I'm just
market
saying
that.
like that's what I think it's going to go to. I think it's going to be if they're doing like if this handheld's a sure thing, it's going to be in handheld first. And then it's going to be a home console. I don't think they'll launch at the same time if that's what their plans are. Like those leaked plans, even if they are old, showed that they're willing to do two different consoles
I
like
mean,
months apart.
I think. Did you want to say what you're going to say before I say?
One thing I just say, I think the market between those two things are actually quite different, right? I think that the kinds of people who
But is it
will,
capturing a wider audience?
100%, but there is definitely overlap, right? But I think all those documents are saying is basically like, hey, let's put these out there at different times because they're targeting different markets. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole year difference between them because I don't know why you. Well, actually, yeah, I probably need to think about that. But I could definitely see them doing like a 6 month gap between the two of them. One of them is a holiday release. One of them is a mid-year release. Like, I handhelds don't necessarily need to be holiday releases, but I feel like most consoles do. Kia, what do you think?
So we're talking about technological leaps, basically, with whatever this next gen piece of
Sure.
hardware is.
Well,
Now, where does it fall down the where has Xbox and PlayStation both fallen down the most when it comes to streaming and networking and stuff like that? It's the user experience of that stuff. What if they built something into the Xbox that would actually boost the capability, like in the house, basically, to be able to detect and put, well, then put those things in a better place in the network? We're running on like 2.4 gigahertz ranges and all this kind of stuff. You can wire it into your network, but I mean, streaming to any device from any area in Australia, it's rubbish. You can't do anything with the streaming. Like, even locally, I can't run stuff without, you know, losing bitrate and stuff like that. So,
Yeah, I think that my one thing about that is I get the feeling that this cloud streaming future that we're all looking at, right, is Microsoft banking on Azure is the most is the thing that makes them the most money. Their own like their data, they're only going to build more databases, not less, right? And they're making money hand over fist with cloud computing. I get the feeling they're like, yeah, by the like, sure, we're a generation too early with the cloud streaming stuff. It's good where it's at, but places like, you know, outside of the US, even in New Zealand, is not great. Even though it took us fucking forever to get it. But I feel like we're talking like 5 years here, right? Like in 5 years, the landscape could be so completely different in terms of cloud computing that I bet you they're banking on it being cloud can make up the difference in 5 years' time, even if it can't do it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that's the case, cloud has to make up the difference.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I mean, we're on Wi-Fi 6s and we're on mesh networks and all kinds of stuff. And like, and so limited that we're not even using the capabilities here of what of the networks. So, yeah. So, I mean, like that's one of the places in the house that you actually need to improve everything. So, and I know that's like a huge first world thing, you know,
That's an
getting your network
infrastructure
set up
problem,
right.
right?
It is, it is. So, yeah. So, making the user experience of those cloud-based services would be the one thing that would lift all of that stuff. And even if that's pushing to other screens wirelessly and all that kind of stuff, where you're getting a native connection between a screen and the Xbox, you know, without having to worry about the router or whatever, you know, that's extra tech, but it's another push in a different direction we haven't seen yet that, you know, you can still get that stuff in from the network, but then pushing it out. I mean, that's a real tinfoil hat stretch,
I think
but.
the only problem with that is that we've seen that Microsoft, like, as much as they have a commitment to hardware, they're reducing their commitment to hardware. Let's be honest here, right? Like, I don't think, like, yeah, we're going to have another gen of consoles and it'll sell just fine, right? But the Series consoles are selling less than the Xbox Ones did, which sold less than the 360. I think the next generation is going to be smaller again, but they're going to be on more devices. So, like, I think that they will do something, but it's, I think you're kind of right there, Cameron, in terms of like them going in a handheld direction, and Yukio as well, in terms of like the leap being the usability of the product or its capabilities from an accessibility point of view, from an availability point of view, as opposed to a raw power. This is like, and, you know, there will still be that obviously because there's no point in putting out a new console if it doesn't have a new AMD chip in it. But yeah, I
The only thing I'm worried about with cloud is like whether it's another case of they've like it's a positive. They're the ones like leading the pathway, but like the Xbox One generation, they were too early. And then all the TV stuff and all that kind of fell towards the end of the generation and everybody was much more accepting. Like think fucking Xbox One and that with Kinect. And then getting like Alexa and Google, like home devices everywhere and in the space of how many years?
Yeah,
I like
I'm with you.
Okay. The one question, what's more likely? Do you think they will pursue the handheld kind of situation? What's the best way to ask this? Do you think they'll approach a handheld SKU? Do you think they'll go the cloud strategy, or do you think it will be a combination of both?
It's got to be
Because
a
I
combination. I don't see a situation where they can afford to go either way at this point, because either you put a shitload of R&D into building a Steam Deck, and then go and compete with those devices using the Windows OS.
I mean, even if they didn't do a handheld situation, I definitely think they will eventually make an Xbox OS and essentially go like,
Yeah,
"Hey, you got a
potentially.
Rug Ally? We'll push it out for you."
Well, that's kind of my point, is that this is why I'm curious about what the actual use case is for an Xbox handheld. Because if Game Pass is their be all and Game Pass and streaming is their be all and end all, you can use Game Pass on all of those devices.
Wasn't there that rumor of that Xbox controller that pushes to devices?
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what I mean. Is that like it just the idea of this handheld thing seems very strange to me. In a world where they're trying to pull away from hardware and become more again, we didn't see this whole, oh, they're going third party, they're never releasing another console ever again, right? But they're clearly broadening their horizons. And the reason why Xbox hasn't done a handheld up until this point is because they saw the PlayStation, they saw Sony do it twice, and it fucking blew up in their faces both times. And Microsoft, and the same reason they didn't do VR, because exactly the same thing. We're like, VR is not the strategy for Xbox. And handheld, yeah.
I was gonna say, with the handheld kind of thing, I'm just wondering if it's just because we're the older demographic. We're the ones that, we have access to a PC. We have a, we're the ones in front of the TV
Sure.
controlling the TV. I'm wondering if it's like appealing to a younger demographic as well.
But
Because
this
I
thing's gonna be
you
fucking expensive, is kind of what I'm getting at, right? If it, like I'm trying to imagine like what this looks like. It's like if it's a cloud thing, it's like, okay, well then it's probably gonna be a cheap and cheerful addition to the Xbox library and not really a big SKU, right? If it's going to be like a big mainline SKU release, that it needs to be a powerful, expensive, and have some sort of point of difference with the like the Steam Deck is already, and the Steam Deck and the ROG, between those two, the ROG and the Steam Deck, like they're fuck, like I can't see any new
Leaping
competitors getting
blue,
into what do you bring to the table, is kind of what I'm getting at, of like what's the selling point of a Microsoft, in the same way that like when Windows Phone came out, they're like, okay, what's the selling point of a Windows Phone over an Android or an iPhone who've been in the market for years, people have established stuff like Steam Deck, especially with people's Steam get library games. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, one of the reasons I brought up
What?
the one of the reasons I brought up the ability for a console to push to devices is because of the Xbox controller that was rumored that would push to devices. Like, they're looking at ways of making the technology more usable. So it's just like, I still think it's going to be a home console. Because as you said, PlayStation have tried too many times with the handheld ones, and they'll just be cannibalizing the market with perfectly serviceable, like they're just going to make the mistakes that the other handheld markets are making. Like all of these ROG Allies and all that kind of stuff, they've all made at least one mistake along the way, and there's just going to be another one if they're putting new different tech inside these devices.
Now, having said that, right, they may like logically it makes no sense for me to do it, because it feels like that, like I don't think the market's saturated, right? But there obviously have been some early movers who have really established that this is a market now. But if Microsoft are going to jump into this market in what, like 4 or 5 years, we're talking about, because like we're talking about next gen, we're not talking about like this holiday. I feel like they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. Because if it was like, hey, we've got something ready to go this year, what's like, is it going to be powerful enough? Is it going to be have enough selling points to kind of, get past everyone? And if it's
Do
in
we think
5 years, who the fuck knows?
I was gonna say, do we think it's 5 years though? Do we think it's like, I honestly could see this happening at the end of like 2025. Like I would say within like a 2 year window, it would like be much more.
I mean, potentially, you might be
I
right.
just I don't see them go like waiting 5 years to capitalize on something like.
I
There's
guess
clearly some interest in that area.
my question would be, and this, like, again, this might just be just how it is, right? But I feel like if we were that close, someone would have a prototype sitting in their hands and they would have leaked it. Like, to be honest, I mean, like, considering how many like Steam Deck leaks and
You've got so many comments though at the moment being like, oh yeah, like handheld.
they're doing handheld something, right? But
Yeah.
it's
There's
like,
something out there. I think it's honestly they've just looked at like, hey, we want the level of PlayStation, Xbox kind of games, on our daily commute. Like I do an hour commute on the train. I want to be able to carry like a Switch kind of thing, and
but that's kind of what
that
I'm
would
saying
be
is
the
that
test
you
case.
that like to Xbox's mind, right? You can already do that, right? Like you have a phone, you can stream to the phone. You have a laptop, you can play the game on the laptop, you can stream to the laptop. If you have a ROG Ally or a Steam Deck, you can use Game Pass and cloud gaming on those devices already. It just seems
But
strange to me that Microsoft would say, "Oh, we want a first party device," when our whole thing has been putting our service on other devices.
And
That's why. And
screens,
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 exactly. That's what I
screens,
mean. Yeah,
screens.
that's
Yeah,
kind of why
exactly.
I'm. That's why I'm just kind of confused. As like they may still do it. Like I'm not saying it's not a good idea or that like they aren't doing it. I'm just saying that like it seems to go against everything they have been saying.
Yeah. I know.
But
Correct me if I'm wrong.
they're a corporation, right? All they give a shit about is making money. So they can say one thing and do another. It wouldn't be the 50th time that they've done it. You know, like.
I mean, to close this argument out, I could they make a loss on the hardware component
Yes.
of selling these consoles, right?
Well, that's the classic like
I could
take on that.
everyone but Nintendo basically makes a loss on the hardware.
I could 100% see them going the handheld route just so they could be like, all right, we've got an extra Game Pass subscriber, we've got an extra person that's gonna buy into the digital ecosystem.
Yeah, but the thing is,
Like,
but I guess the thing is like isn't it
we're
better
just out
to
of the
just
way.
get them to do that on their phone that they've already bought? And not lose money every time they try to get like losing money while trying to get people into Game Pass is just not going to do it.
Talking about phones, that's going to transition me to the next point.
Yes.
Discussing the mobile side, there was a mention of mobile Xbox Mobile Store, but that ties to regulatory work, the business opportunity of first party and third party partners, and then building the store. So there's a bit of work to be done in that space.
Which makes sense.
Because
They've basically
even
said as
if
much.
this is the thing, they got the phone at the moment, but do you buy your games through the phone?
I don't buy if I don't buy phone, I don't buy phone games.
No, I mean like, okay, how do you buy your Xbox games? Do you buy it through PC? Do you buy it through
Usually
console?
PC. I just
The Xbox app has not had phone purchasable options for a long time, and I used
Exactly
to
my point.
look do them. I download and do all the purchases and whatever through the phone. So
I mean,
you know,
if I was
so.
like, I guess I'd do maybe do the phone browser, but is that that's back again? Like, but not nothing native is
I'll do PC.
PC usually, yeah.
Because PC, you can always like hunt around. Unless I'm in a physical store. That's the only option. Anyway, and then the last one was asked, with more games coming to PS5 and Switch, what is Xbox Microsoft now? Xbox is our gaming platform content business. It's the number one consumer business that Microsoft has. I think you might have commented on looking at last quarter's earnings. We're now the third largest business in the company. It's an important business. It's a consumer category that is driven by technology and creativity. It is partner-led business for us, so we get a lot of feedback and interaction with some of the world's best creators. It's been amazing the support that this company has given this business over the last 5 or 6 years. Honestly, it sounds so cheesy for me to say it, but I've never been as excited as I am now about the opportunity ahead of for us. The gaming teams, the games that we have at the market, where our cloud is, the growth that was seen on the PC and cloud, our hardware roadmap, it's just really exciting time at Xbox. I want to be part of the game industry growth, and I want Xbox to play a leading role in the growth of this industry, finding new players and new creators. And yes, we will take the share of that in the business as it grows. But as an industry, we need to be really focused on how we grow this industry.
Yeah, because they aren't seeing the growth in the hardware sector that they need, and they said double digits Game Pass growth, but that's low double digits. Actually, I found that number as well. Their projection was they were expecting to have more than 100 million users by the fiscal year 2029, 2030, so 4 or 5 years from now, or 5 or 6. If they're at 33 at the moment, there's no way they're hitting that number. Like unless they have some big fucking changes in the next 3 years.
How long ago was that prediction?
That was September last year.
Yeah, but you're also
Okay,
looking
so
at
yeah, okay.
yeah, Game Pass is an Xbox. They've said now Game Pass is an Xbox thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So like that's obviously that's their goal, right? That they if they're trying to hit 100 million, they're going to need some big plays, and this looks like the beginning of that.
I don't think I think the only thing that this article didn't cover up was like them saying that they have 10 major releases coming
This
this year.
year? Yeah, they
Yeah.
didn't. Yeah.
So I talked briefly in the Discord today, Microsoft Flight Sim 2024. Unless that game's getting renamed to 2025 because of the
Yeah, it
delay.
might do. I mean,
Oh man,
we haven't seen
that'll
anything
be
about it for a
awkward.
while.
When your 2024 game launches in 2025.
Yeah.
Oh, I could just imagine the mockery now. And then there's other stuff like I'm like the Fallout 3 remake leaked.
Yeah.
Like
So
that kind
the
of stuff I
Oblivion
could see.
remaster.
Yep. I'm sure there's like a few bits and pieces like that that are just sprinkled in.
Sure.
You know, we get to like mid-year show and
I mean, like we're in February. Do we like
we got 10 months.
again, we had this discussion last year, right? We're like, what the fuck is coming out in 2023? It just feels like there's nothing.
Oh, it's actually everything. You
It's
just didn't
literally every
know.
game ever made. And so I feel like we probably won't be quite the same this year, but there'll be so much stuff that they just are keeping much closer to their chest. I mean, I feel like yeah, the
It
games
kind of feels
industry
like
has
a
never
repeat
been
of
more secretive
2021.
than right now.
True. And it kind of feels like a repeat of 2021 where everything for me was like Forza Horizon 5, Halo Infinite, Age of Empires 2, like a, no, Age of Empires 4? Yeah, Age of Empires 4, sorry. It was just everything was in the back here, and I was just happy for like those 2 free months. Any closing thoughts on the Verge article?
I read the article was good. People should go read it. It's really interesting stuff.
Definitely give them some traffic. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, moving along. Xbox February update adds touch controls in remote play. So they've rolled out the February update. Microsoft says that Xbox Remote Play now supports custom touch controls on over 100 games when using the Xbox app on iOS, Android, and Windows devices. There's a new thumbstick recalibration tool for Xbox wireless controllers, plus improved filtering and sorting for games and apps. The new self-calibration tool for Xbox wireless controllers is available for the accessories app on console and PC. And it will help users who want to self-repair their controllers address minor thumbstick issues like inconsistent responses.
All right.
The new filters added to My Games and apps to find exactly what you're looking for. You can now filter games by accessibility, supported languages, and technical features.
All right.
Which I
Yeah,
think.
seems like a relatively decent update. I saw people talking a little bit about the filters and stuff.
I'll quickly just touch note on this other update. So Microsoft has made some network optimizations with the latest Xbox Insider update that will make it faster to download games and updates in the background
Yeah,
while you're
that's what I was
playing.
saying before.
Good, because that's been an issue forever, is that
Yeah,
stuff getting stuck in
the
download. Just slows
PlayStation
down to
games,
nothing.
the PS5 games download super fast. Like there's something going on that's not restricting their downloads, and it is even on my network, it's just really, really, really good. So you're talking like tens of gigs,
Right. Yeah,
very,
that's
very
it was
quickly.
like because I have
So
a very I have a very fast internet connection and it's
yeah.
still like an
I'm
absolute
what,
crawl
50 up,
sometimes.
50
It
down.
slows down to
So
nothing. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm closer to 1,000 down and 500 up, and like it still takes way too fucking long.
So it feels like it's a limitation of the hardware more than anything
Yeah, probably just the way
when it
their
comes up.
servers work. I mean, like,
Tomb Raider 1-3 remastered notes. So Tomb Raider 1-3 remastered featuring Lara Croft, I think is the full title, contains a warning about the inclusion of racist and ethnic stereotypes. Crystal Dynamics flagged the content of the state of the game, reading the games in this collection contain offensive depictions of people and cultures rooted in racial and ethnic prejudices. These stereotypes are deeply harmful, inexcusable, and do not align with our values at Crystal Dynamics. Rather than removing this content, we have chosen to present it here in its original form, unaltered, in the hopes that we may acknowledge its harmful impact and learn from it. I saw a lot of devs like praising this,
Yeah, so
as soon as I
it's
saw
a
it.
sign of like that specific era that we can't forget about. We need to know to not do those kind of things in games. And if it disappears, if they just wipe it out, then we're not going to know about it to do it again. So, yeah.
I mean, you see this stuff in other forms of media too, like Disney.
Yeah, Looney Tunes
Yeah.
especially had a few of those, like just these classic old style cartoons.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's important. I do know that they did change some stuff, so it's not 100%, like it's not 100% in its original form as such. But they, you know, there's some stuff that
They've done a lot of work with this.
they've
This
also
is
done, like, yeah, the
actually a
yeah.
stellar collection for the price that you actually get it with. And you get the expansion packs for each of the games that were never on, anywhere but PC. So, yeah,
So
they've done good.
it's speculated that it could be the animalistic depiction of Pacific Island natives in Tomb Raider 3, which are implied to be cannibals. And then the game launched with an impressive achievement list spanning over 4,000 game score and 269 achievements.
I'm probably going to give it a go at some stage. Relive my childhood a little bit.
Have you played the originals or?
Yeah. One of my good mates had the originals on PlayStation. Never finished them because I was a kid and they were way too fucking hard. And this was before walkthroughs were really a big thing. I do
I'm
want to
all
check it
over
out.
Tomb Raider. Like Tomb Raider is like my number one like big game outside of like Resident Evil, and like Tomb Raider is the series that
In what
really
context do I take that? They're really good.
yeah, well, I mean,
You're
I can
all over
look.
Tomb Raider.
All right, I can say as much as I like that I never paid attention to certain parts of Lara's, but it knows nobody's going to believe me, are they? So
No,
what
of
the fuck
course
am I
not.
supposed to say? What the
Just
fuck am
no.
I supposed to say?
You just say
Nothing.
no comment. You just
Yeah,
say I like
exactly. Look,
triangles.
I had a big thing for like ancient Egypt stuff and all that kind of discovery when I was a kid. It was a good time of my life. I
I just
enjoyed it,
wanted to
and
shoot
then this
tigers.
just added
That was
to
what I
it.
was there
So
for.
yeah,
I
and
just wanted to
dinosaurs, dinosaurs.
murder the endangered wildlife. I was just like fucking twin pistol. I mean, to be fair, they are trying to kill you. But I'm very interested to see how those games, like, I don't know if reviews are out for it yet or kind of what the thoughts are around the around it, because I'm curious, but I'm also like how, like, it's gonna, those games have not aged super great, so I'm curious to see like how much they've smoothed the edges on it, or rounded the
Let's have
edges
a
as it
quick
may be.
look. Well, rounded all the edges, like specific
Yes,
edges. So,
that is
all
the joke I was
right.
referring
Yeah,
to.
yeah,
To be fair,
yeah,
thank
yeah,
you for pointing it
yeah.
out.
Okay, I
All
had
right,
to.
Cameron, what else
It
have we
looks
got?
like it's about an eight,
Okay, that's fine.
judging from the first few reviews I looked up. Ubisoft defends its Skull and Bones $70 price.
Quadruple A game, guys.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
Skull and Bones launched on Xbox Series X and S. They launched in early access with the deluxe edition, which you can purchase through Ubisoft Plus, but it technically launches on Xbox Series X and S next week with a price tag of $70 US for its standard. While it shows signs of having some live service elements, Ubisoft insists that it's a fully fledged game and even called it Quadruple A. The game is set to include 4 seasons of post-launch content for the game's first year, including new world events, season rewards, sea monsters, features, and more. During a QA portion of the company's recent earnings call, Ubisoft CEO, is it Yves?
Yves
Yves,
Guillemot.
Was asked why the company is pricing Skull and Bones at $70 when a free-to-play model might work better for live service elements, giving it a better chance to build a community instead of limiting its player base with a steep price tag.
Great fucking question.
You'll see that Skull and Bones is a fully fledged game. It's a very big game, and we feel that people will see how vast and complete the game is. It's a really full AAA, quadruple A game that will deliver in the long run.
Yeah, who
I mean,
decides what a
look.
triple A and a quadruple A is? Like, I didn't think it was the developers themselves.
I mean, look, you know, like U Ubisoft and lying to their investors, like, name a better pair. Like, come on. Like, come on, guys. Like, that's, you know,
It's
that's
100%,
my
and
ship, you know? It's my one true
it's
pairing.
an it's a message to the investors. It's not actually
No,
to.
it's not actually true in any way, shape, or form. They just have to justify the fact that they've been developing this for 11 years and need to make some money on it. Because can you imagine this being a live service and everyone being like, yeah, this is shit, I'm not buying anything. And they're like, oh, well, we made literally no money on the game. Not at the And they'll be like, oh, well, we made money. Now they can be like, we made money on Ubisoft Plus. No one downloaded the game, but
Well, they've come out and said with Ubisoft Plus, like, yes, sign up for it. We want you to access our games like that because you'll most likely forget about it and just keep the
That's how
subscription running.
subscriptions work. I'm not fucking forgetting about it. I got the day written down. We'll talk about that, but
I'll go into my thoughts on Skull and Bones a little bit later, but yeah,
it's
that's essentially the news wrap up. Unless you guys had to... Oh, wait, sorry, one more.
one from Power World. That's something I posted in the Discord yesterday.
Yeah, so yeah, Matt shared this thing from Bucky CM, which is the community manager for Power World. Quickly just read through it and just give our thoughts. With Power World quickly approaching the 1 month mark, it's interesting to look back at my own thoughts for launch. In May of 2023, I was convinced that Power World could break the 50,000 player mark. Anything above that seemed unattainable, though, and I certainly never expected it to reach into the millions. It has taken years to get to this point, and Power World only really begins from here. Everyone is working hard to fix the issues and prepare new content and PALs. Some of you have had your fun over the last 3 weeks and found yourself putting the game down. That is fine. This emerging Power World has locked X percent of its player base discourse as lazy, but it's probably also a good time to step in and reassure those of you capable of reading past the headline that it's fine to take breaks from games. You don't need to feel bad about that. Power World, like many games before it, isn't in a position to pump out massive amounts of new content on a weekly basis. New content will come and it's going to be awesome, but these things take a little bit of time. There are so many amazing games out there to play, you don't need to feel guilty about hopping from game to game. If you are still playing Power World, we love you. If you're no longer playing Power World, we still love you. We hope you'll come back for round two when you're ready. Play lots of games, try different genres, and frequently flick through any libraries to find hidden gems. Man, there's so much to take away from that. Like when you shared it.
This guy is a Final Fantasy 14 player. Those players live and die by Yoshi P's words, and that is exactly it. So,
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think this is good. I think this is a very good message.
So I've got a few questions off this. I want to hear your thoughts. How do you feel about these articles that come out? Like, we've seen it with Starfield, just like, oh, this single player game has lost 90% of its audience 6 months after launch.
No shit. It started. I remember the one that most made me roll my eyes. Like Starfield, I was like, okay, it kind of had low player counts, and also it was kind of they were just clickbaiting and rage baiting because it was just kind of they were celebrating a game doing badly. The one that made me roll my eyes was fucking Elden Ring when they had things about. I was like, Elden Ring was one of the most successful games ever, and 2022 it was nuts. And so I was just like, oh no, Elden Ring's lost a bunch of players. And I'm like, yeah, it's been months and people have put hundreds of people are burning through this game, not stopping to play and putting 200 hours in a week. Like, yeah, maybe they might take a break or two. Like, I think
Or people just play it and they find out it's not for them and then
yeah,
they move
exactly.
on.
Like, that's totally okay. And like, I think we want to maybe be a little bit careful about how we talk about this because when you have something like Elden Ring is a one-time purchase. There's no microtransactions. There's no DLC yet. Like, you buy it, whether you play it or not, the publishers don't give a shit. Devs obviously would like you to play through the game, but like, the deal is done. The transaction is done. Where this gets a bit murky is when you get into something that's a live service game that is like, well, no, you're just going to keep paying us and you're going to stay on forever and you're just going to keep giving us money for this thing. I mean, we saw this with like Suicide Squad, right? And that was one of the complaints straight away was that, like, oh, hey, it's a live service game with no content. And how many times have you guys heard that story of like live service game comes out, has like a real, like relatively threadbare, short, like 6 to 8 hour campaign, and then just, oh yeah, get into the end game. There's no end game. We haven't built it yet.
Power World's the interesting case though, because it's kind of like it's a live service game, but it is a one like time purchase unless you're going for a Game Pass. Which kind of it kind of leads into the other question I had, where like when it comes to games like Power World that obviously utilize game preview, do you prefer to get in like day one to try and get it done, or like do you have a fear of missing out when it comes to, for example, Second Extinction?
I was going to mention Second Extinction. Yeah, that didn't really get the legs off the start, unfortunately. It was way too niche though, so to really grab anything. The appeal of this is just insane. Like, really. Like, this is the Pokemon game everybody wanted.
People want Pokemon survival.
They wanted this game with what's that other one that came out not too like last year or something like
Nexomon.
that? No, well, okay, well, there's been a few. All right. So, they're really
Cassette
trying to
based
cat.
Nexamon, like all these spin.
Yeah, no, it's not
Oh,
that.
what's
It's not any of those. I think you know what. Yeah, I think you're on it, but I just don't know what it is. Anyway, yeah, so I think this really, the phrase, this emerging discourse is lazy, probably hits it on the head more than anything else, because he's saying, look, don't listen to what's going on in the media, because it's more than just X player base is gone. There's other things with this game going on in the media they have to deal with right now. So into terms of like all this copyright talk, and they've had to do this like three times now. So they've basically, just settled on just, we'll invite you back. Yes, Temtem, that's the one.
Temtem.
Yeah,
I
I couldn't
couldn't
even
think
think
of
of
the
the name.
name, and I'm
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah,
have the disc. I don't.
yep,
You're
yeah.
referring to something.
Yes, Temtem was the first big one that really started to get people's attentions, and this one really grabbed it. So, but yeah, so now that they've dealt with all of the, people should stop talking about this game that way, I think. Now
I
that
don't
things are
know.
starting to settle down, but what's going to happen when they invite people back? It'll be new content.
It'll be interesting to see how much like legs this game has though. Because like they're trying to hire like crazy at the moment. They're just like, if you've got like any development experience, we want you. Which is crazy.
To answer your question though, Cameron, like I don't usually jump on game like I am personally hugely against the idea of early access and game preview and that whole idea, the whole idea of if you're selling a game to somebody, it should be feature complete. Like that's my personal philosophy. I don't believe in paying for I don't believe in paying for a product that's not done. If it's in Game Pass, it's maybe a little bit different, right? I feel like, you're already paying for a subscription. There's a low barrier to entry. I still personally won't usually play something that's in game preview over something else.
I think if it's going to be game preview, it should be free from the outset
That's kind of what I mean,
as a
yeah.
test, because basically you've put consumers on the ground
Well,
testing your game. So
yeah. I'm
like
trying to think of the best
let
way
me
to
just put it
explain
this way.
this. In my most cynical brain, there is nothing to stop a developer from putting something half finished on game preview, raking it a bunch of money, and then just canceling it. Well, that's what
Yeah,
happened to Steam
yeah.
Early Access when it
Yeah,
originally came out.
exactly. And that's what I mean. It's like I've seen that story so many times, and it went from like Kickstarter being like, hey, give us your money up front and we might make a game, to hey, we'll maybe make some of a game and we promise you we'll keep making it, give us some money. And like why would I waste my money and time on something when I could buy a complete product? Like, let me put like if Baldur's Gate had come to early access, I probably wouldn't have played it till it was 1.0 release. Now, what now? And then you also there's this blurred line of like, what is like things being in beta, things being in early access, like, and but they're playable, they're mostly feature complete. Like, you can play through a whole story, they have achievements, and then it comes a question of like, well, this is released. Like you're paying money for this. It's like I don't know, like the fact that you can basically finish Power World, quote unquote, right? Isn't
Totally. Yeah, you've got dungeons, all kinds of stuff. But like the Second Extinction was the perfect example, because that was a game that was cancelled. It was being sold to people. It didn't make it out of preview, and it's just, yeah. So it just shouldn't happen that
it?
way. So, because everybody loses. So.
Yeah, and I understand as a model for developers to be like, well, we don't have the funding and the time to spend on something that might hit it off but might not. So we're gonna make it a little bit easier on ourselves by putting out an earlier version of it, get some more funding so we can use that to build the rest of the game, which I totally I get, right?
I was gonna say the one thought I had was like I think there's a okay section like when you got sites like Alpha Beta Gamer where it's like you're a free player essentially. You're beta testing the product for. But like when it gets to game preview, it's like, how much of my input as a player am I actually impacting the game?
Yeah, which is
Like, is this developer going to take the feedback on board and that kind of stuff?
and I feel like you have some really good examples. Like Baldur's Gate is an amazing example of like early access being used correctly, right? Where it was like they had Act One, it was a fully fledged thing. They just didn't have the they needed feedback on the content and they needed time to make the rest of it and funding to do the rest. But like as much as I love Baldur's Gate 3 and it's an amazing game, I still would not have bought it until it was feature complete. Like
Yep.
that's just that's
Yeah,
what it was.
definitely.
I mean, that's what every and but then it just bounced off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if,
Like just
and like
went
if that
crazy.
game doesn't get made because it didn't get funding, like that sucks. But unfortunately, no game has the right to exist. Like it's like as much as I'd love to see every developer get funded and every game be successful, that's just not the world we live in. And I feel like I feel like getting consumers to pay up front for a maybe is never a good idea. And I think that over the years we've kind of gotten a little bit wise to that kind of thing.
Sorry, who's that at the door? Kickstarter?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, remember when Kickstarter first started and was like, this is the new way to do games? You're an investor. And then the first time that someone pulled the rug out and we're like, yeah,
That's a
I'm
scam. That's a
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
scam.
exactly. And then it was like, oh
Yeah.
shit. Had like a couple of like Star Citizen. Oh
It's
my
like,
God. Still like still not out yet. Anyway, I'm not gonna do
I
it. All
mean, there's
right.
positives though. Like, Chinatown Detective Agency was a Kickstarter, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm like I
Was
played
it?
like I mean I played a lot of Kickstarter games and I've enjoyed quite a few of them, but I didn't Kickstart any of them. Like and yeah, anyway, I'm not gonna get into it,
Yeah.
but I float in other people's investments. Yeah,
I think
exactly.
we'll be running with the line Neo Master doesn't believe games should exist before they're born.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Game development begins at conception. All right, let's get into Game Pass.
All right, cool. I'm gonna quickly just go through these. So Resident Evil 3 has come out. Cloud console PC. Jill Valentine is one of the last remaining people in Raccoon City to witness the atrocities Umbrella performed. To stop her, Umbrella unleashes their ultimate secret weapon, Nemesis.
They don't
Bloodstained
unleash him
ritual.
too much though, because they cut a bunch of content out of the original game, but that's fine.
Okay. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, Cloud Console PC also out. Exploration focused side scroller action RPG, packing all the best features you've come to know and love from the Metroidvania genre into a single content packed game.
Highly recommend that.
This one does have a PC stack, but it has one unsavable achievement. I don't know if that's been fixed yet.
There's a rumor that they're hoping that with the because it's getting a new patch with this release that hopefully it will
Okay.
also be fixed,
Right.
but
Yes.
that has not eventuated yet, so we shall see. But
Little to the
definitely
left. The
play the console version. It's great.
Yeah, definitely. Little to the left, the one that I'm really keen on, a cozy puzzle game where everyday messes become pleasing puzzle arrangements, stack documents, sort postcards, and solve all kinds of puzzles across over 100 levels. But watch out for a playful cat who might stop by to swipe away all your hard work. I'm going to play this with my daughter on the weekend
I
because
saw
it
the
sounds.
DLC is also included in this list, so it has like 1,200.
It's included in the list, but it is a separate DLC. It's
Got
like
it. Right.
$8 Australian for like 200
Yeah.
GameScore, I think.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it's. I mean, I've heard such wonderful things on every other like wholesome games genre.
I know Char played it quite a bit on their Switch back in the day. Yeah, great game.
Plate Up, which is another one that I'm keen on. Classic cooking action with permanent roguelite progression. Cook and serve your dishes, design and decorate your restaurants, and expand your culinary kingdom with unlocked abilities and dishes in procedurally generated layouts, up to 4-player co-op. From first glance, the list doesn't look too bad, so I might just test it for everybody and see how we go. I mean, it's been on Steam a lot, so I'm sure there's like some information about the best way to tackle it. Return to Grace, also coming to cloud console and PC on Feb 20th, a daring space archaeologist has just unearthed the ancient resting place of a long-lost AI god known as Grace. Adventure with various fractured AI personalities as you uncover the great mystery of why she was shut down all those years ago in this first narrative adventure set in the visually stunning 60s retro sci-fi world. I've heard good things about this one.
Right up my alley. Very keen on that. Yeah,
I'd love to hear your thoughts. The other thing we found out was Tales of Arise got confirmed. Got confirmed by Xbox Japan. We don't know what platforms are, but sorry, what the platforms are going to be, but I would assume console, PC,
Console
and
at the very
cloud.
least. Yeah.
Yeah. Coming Feb 20th. I'll need your help with these names, Matt. Tales of Arise follows two heroes.
Alphen. And I believe it's Shion.
Okay. On the opposite ends of a war between two worlds, the game features a new story with the same charm and storytelling prowess that has defined the Tales series. Its combat is faster paced than prior entries, which is good news for our fans of the action games. I think this is like the 17th title in the
Something
series,
like that.
something
Tales
like
of Vesperia is probably my favorite.
that.
I played quite a few of them over the years, but Arise has been in my backlog for ages. I still haven't got around to it. My main issue is that there is a DLC pack that they brought out that is very expensive that never goes on sale. So might just have to bite the bullet and buy that at some stage.
Well, 20% off DLC and Game Pass, most likely, with the
10%, I think,
perks,
so really.
really. 10%?
10%, yeah. I
10%.
mean, hey,
Okay.
any percent off is good for me, to be honest.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So.
So in terms of what's leaving, we don't know what's leaving. It's only the 16th at the moment. We do know a few that are coming. We know that Diablo 4 is getting added on March 28th. Hopefully we get a few more Blizzard announcements after.
Fingers crossed.
Activision Blizzard, yep. And then Bonnie Manor will hit Game Pass on April 9th, which is an exploration puzzle game where you play as a retired botanist called Arabella Green. Explore your house and gardens filled with research to figure out the ideal habitat of forgotten flora. Grow each plant to discover the mysterious qualities they hold. Looks
All right, cool.
cute. Yeah,
Yeah. I'll probably play that.
yeah. Good month for Game Pass.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah, for
it
sure.
is. It is.
All right, let's get into
All
what
right.
we've been playing. I will quickly say I finished Outer Worlds. I mentioned a little bit of that last week. So I did
Yep.
the DLCs. The second
Second
DLC is
best.
so good.
Okay.
It's so good. It's a murder mystery at a hotel that is also a vineyard, and also like it's like they're like, hey, let's just build a location that's all of the noir detective tropes. And just like throw you at it, and like it's got all of it. It's got like the sort of snarky, like the really snooty brand ambassador guy who hired you because his brand's gonna someone died who was supposed to be promoting a new product, and he's all like, you gotta fix this. This is ruining my brand. And then you've got like the mob boss crime lord guy who clearly didn't do it but is doing a bunch of other horrible shit. You've got like a scientist who's like working on some weird shit. You got her boyfriend who was like blackout drunk at the time and doesn't really remember what's like. It's like Agatha Christie all the way through. It's fucking great, but it's also hilarious. I mean,
Okay.
I love this whole game. It's really, really good. Really looking forward to the second one. First DLC was still pretty good. It was interesting. It was about basically like a shutdown facility on an asteroid where some bad shit happened and you're trying to figure out what. But yeah, really, really like it. It's Obsidian's writing all the way through. And fittingly, my last achievement was to fly a ship into the sun, which the only way you can do it is by having a below average intelligence, and it gives you an option that just is dumb, and you can just pick
Oh,
it. And it's like, yeah, I'm just
nice.
going to manually put in the coordinates, and you can fly yourself into the sun and get an achievement. So that was my last one. Had a great time with it. Highly recommend it.
Speaking of Outer Worlds 2.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm very excited for that. Where is it?
Game got announced in 2020.
Could be this year, but
4 years.
Obsidian, but Obsidian have avowed this year, so it's probably next year.
I imagine. Yeah. Fair. I mean, there's multiple teams working in Obsidian, though, right?
Sure, yeah, sure, but we didn't hear anything
Yeah.
about any grounded content either, right? All right, Gotham Knights, Cameron. Well, actually, we've all been playing
We've
Gotham
all been
Knights.
playing
We've
it,
all been
yeah.
talking.
We can just. I'm not Batman.
Okay, I just want to say it here so it's recorded.
Sorry. I'm Robin. I'm
Yeah,
Robin.
exactly. Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you're Robin. Yeah, you're Nightwing.
Look, there's a 3 out of 4 chance that I'm Robin.
That's
Or
this
was
is true. This,
Robin
there are
at one
three
point in
Robins
time.
on the roster.
Yep, I'm not Robin.
Oh
I'm Batgirl.
you're
Yeah,
the only one that's not Robin.
I'm playing. I am Red Hood, who is also Robin. Okay, I just want to
Right,
say I'm not going to give any spoilers because some people might have like, I 100% called this game. Like from the beginning, I was like, I fucking nailed just about every element of this plot. I was so happy with myself.
Yeah, we were talking the other night, and I was like, "So, did you blah 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 yet?" And you're like, "Yeah, well, I pretty much did."
Yeah, for basically, yeah, that's kind of, it's like they took it a slightly different direction, but one that actually kind of makes more sense. But it was only, yeah. Anyway, I want to hear your guys' thoughts about what you think about, being the Bat family.
All right, let's get the glaring thing out of the way first. 30 FPS.
Yeah, it's rough.
I haven't experienced too much of it to really worry about it yet, but I'm not in the girth of the combat yet, so I'm not right there. So I've been just stealthing around those first couple of areas in the buildings, trying to work out their first investigations. So,
There's some areas where the traversal is like really, really bad. Like it slows down to what feels like 15 for
yeah,
me. And
especially
they're
co the
just
co-op
like
is
jet lagged.
it's rough. Yeah, especially if you're far apart from each other, which like, hey, you know, I get it. You know, you're trying to render two things at once.
I know the character animation, at least for Batgirl, does that thing where if you push the stick forward, you're running in one direction, but you pull it back and it slowly, like the
Momentum.
inertia, the momentum stops and then goes the other way. Like there's that just that drag on the joystick. It's not flicky. So,
It kind of feels a little bit floaty. Like I'll be honest, like I don't really like this
It's
game mode.
serviceable.
It's fine. Like it's not unplayable, but it's also like if this wasn't on Game Pass, there's no way I would pay any amount of money for it.
Like it would be a $10 pickup at most.
100, yeah, exactly. Like yeah, at most.
This is definitely not a game that you would go out and purchase for full price, but I will say it kind of makes me wonder about the game because I definitely like there's things of it that I like. I like the environment. Like traversing Gotham, there's like, there's certain parts that just you're in awe of. Like just being able to go around, Gotham. I haven't played Arkham.
I was
I
gonna
haven't
say,
played the
yeah, is
Arkham games.
that is my problem, is that like Arkham Knight did that years beforehand, like a
So this
thousand
is the
times
thing.
better,
You just have that
unfortunately.
kind of experience. You just have that like kind of awe of the environment. Whereas in this is my kind of like first proper introduction to it. So this is why it feels cool to traverse. The 30 FPS thing is a shock. The like not to go on a whole tangent and be negative here, the traversal with the motorbike is
Oh yeah,
shit.
motorbike's terrible. Yeah. It's
But
really
then
slow and they try to trick you by putting speed lines around it when you rev up. And it's like you're like, I'm going 50 miles an hour here. Like you just
But like I love the combat.
I think
I
it's okay.
definitely
I think it's pretty.
I'm sure there's better games, but I think like it's better than serviceable. It's
Unfortunately,
good.
it's like Arkham, like that's the thing, is that like the Arkham trilogy, that's the combat that it's based off of somewhat. And
So,
like
and it seems like they all have different styles
they do, yeah. They're like
anyway.
there's definitely elements to it that they've added, like different abilities and kind of specials and stats and stuff, which is kind of interesting. And there's kind of a gear loot system, which I don't.
I mean the like the loot system I don't care about. There's like the different cutscene that we all like experience going through that like maze of sorts.
Yeah, there's some
Like
like story stuff that's actually somewhat interesting.
yeah. But yeah, I'm enjoying my time with it. There's like I definitely think if you didn't have co-op in this game, it would fall apart.
Agreed.
It is definitely like
Well, I
a
am
lot.
playing it by myself at the moment, so we'll see how that goes and I'll be able to report back.
But then there's moments in this game that like to me don't make sense in a co-op sense because it's like I run up to the door, it doesn't lock on properly. Matt can't press A on the door, and then I re like.
Post only. You're like,
Like host only doors, what? But then there's also been like really fun times, like walking in front of a laser. You're thinking, so towards the second last mission, there's like a heavy metal door that you gotta open with a laser drill, yeah?
Was very fun.
And it's like, all right, cool. We move it all into place, set it up, and
Well,
I'm just
actually,
like,
before that, there was a. I want to say this part. There was a small laser that you get. And you have to open like a. You have to open a security door with it, and it's like, oh, hold it. It's a classic thing where it's like, hold off the enemies while the laser door goes. And I made the joke. I was like, is this going to be like Payday where the fucking thing stops halfway through and breaks, and I have to fix it? And then it fucking did. It fucking broke. It broke at like 40% and was like, oh, you got to reset it. And I nearly threw my controller. And then Cameron was like, hey, lasers are fun. Let's just fucking stand in front of one while I'm trying to open a fucking door with it.
So we did this whole thing where you have to like pick a laser up from one section of the room, move it across, rotate this tank and all that, so then it fires correctly. We figured all that out, did it, and I'm just like, I'm Cameron, I'm just gonna stand in front of the laser and get myself blown up. That happens. Matt runs over to revive me, and then it's just a massive explosion. He
Yeah,
dies.
exactly. Yeah, it's like the laser kills you and then the door explodes. Like it was perfect comedy timing. And then we had to redo the whole fucking section again.
So how do
I
you
was only
guys
5 minutes.
go with the puzzles? What do you think of the puzzles at the
The
moment?
puzzles are actually okay. Yeah. Like, there was only one puzzle that's really shit,
I
which is like
mean,
right at the end of the game.
most of the puzzles are like connect this one piece of evidence with another piece of evidence. But
Yeah,
you can kind of just like tap and just
it rules one
stuff
out,
like
and then
that.
you
Yeah.
just have to click on something else, and the other one
When
you can't click on anymore. And
you
yeah.
really should just like be reading the documents to figure it
That's
out.
what I did. Like, but they usually weren't that difficult for the most part. Like, it was pretty straightforward.
But yeah, like for the most part, I wouldn't say like I'm too like I've been more interested in Matt like retelling everything to me about DEC because I only know like my exposure to DEC is practically Teen Titans Go.
Sure.
Like I love Teen Titans, and you know like I know elements of the DC universe, like I know the characters and that kind of stuff, but I'm not really invested in the lore. I'm a Marvel person, so it's been really good to hear all that like secondhand.
Yeah, like
And
that's
just
the
yeah,
kind of
finding
enjoyment
out
that I'm getting
the
out of it as
story.
well, is that like I'm not a big comics books guy in general, but I mean, like most people, I like Batman and kind of have a bit of an interest in some of the classic Batman stories like Nightfall and Year One and Killing Joke and things like that, right? Like the sort of those classic Batman stories, like Frank Miller stuff. And so like seeing the like whole Jason Todd thing and kind of being like, okay, so what continuity is this? Is this like, was Jason tortured? Was he killed? And they're like, no, Jason was literally beat to death by the Joker with a crowbar. And I was like, okay. And they brought him back with Lazarus Pit. And they're like, yep. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I kind of know where we're at now. So it's interesting to see, like, okay, I know a little bit about Nightwing, but obviously we got Batgirl, so she's not Oracle, which means Killing Joke didn't happen,
Yeah,
but
pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
There's also no mention of Joker because he's gone, and so like, but Commissioner Gordon is dead apparently. So like, there's some stuff going on, and we're like, okay, so it's interesting to see.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix mash of what happened in Arkham Knight with
Exactly.
some new twist. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of interested to be like, oh, okay, because Jason Todd was in, I mean, spoilers, Arkham Knight. He was in that, which, yeah, just I'm very curious. It was, but obviously it wasn't made by Rocksteady because it was the Ubisoft Montreal team. So I don't know. I'm having a pretty good time with it in terms of like, yeah, playing through co-op. It's been fun enough, and the fact that we can split up and like fight crime and stuff. And now that we finished the main story, I'm gonna see. I'm interested. Like, there's three other like side stories to do, and then it's kind of the open world grindy stuff, and that's what I'm worried is gonna get really stale really quickly.
Now, we all obviously haven't played Suicide Squad.
Yes, true.
So now that these guys have, they've actually come out and it's apparently not that great and there's a lot of issues with it. Have the tables turned where suddenly the Batman Arkham Origins team is actually getting more traction with people playing this game instead of Suicide Squad?
It's on Game Pass, and I saw Left 4 Legacy just finished it recently, so maybe, you know.
I mean, Origins wasn't bad. It was a nice little boss,
It's it scratched
rush
the ish.
game.
Like I
So,
want to go and check out the Arkham games after this.
Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy Arkham Asylum. It is one of my favorite Metroidvanias, which is a controversial take, but it is a
Yeah, it
Metroidvania.
is more of a sensible take than anything Metroidvania that Cameron's come up with.
This is
So.
true. This is true.
Benedict Fox is a Metroidvania.
No, yeah, well, it is actually. Yes, you're right. Benedict
Yeah,
Fox is Metroid.
yeah.
I like how you just immediately went no, just like
Well,
he's
okay,
gonna
well,
deliver the dumbest take here.
yeah, well, I
Forza
mean,
Motorsport is a
it
Metroidvania.
is, isn't it?
Oh my God. All right.
Forza Motor. Wait, did you
No.
say Horizon or Motorsport? Either
Motorsport.
one. Yeah, I can see that. I'm kidding.
Cameron, you've been playing some more Brotato?
Yeah, I've got 14 more runs left.
Jeez, I've still got like 30. I can't be bothered.
I've done like four characters, so
I've woken up each day and I'm like, I'm doing five today, I'm doing five the next day, and that's how it's gonna get done. All the miscellaneous ones are very easy. So don't stress about that. It's just honestly the longest bit is just doing the runs.
Yeah, the characters just aren't different enough to for it to be interesting.
The third line does some like there are some interesting characters like the demon for example, you have to spend your health points to upgrade your weapon. Like, they do put some very interesting characters in there, but like a lot of them, the two
They could
same.
have cut out like a whole row of them, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or could have just done like a particular character of each, like not the whole
And also, like,
series.
yeah, they didn't need achievements for all of them. Like, I mean, even Vampire Survivors didn't do that, you know? I will quickly talk about the Crew Motorfest. So I picked up Ubisoft Plus because, you know, we're doing racing stuff and decided to play the Crew Motorfest, and I'm really enjoying it. So much so that I'm basically done with it. I've done all the playlists, I've done all the leveling. All I have left to do is a couple of crew events, and then I got to do the Demolition Derby stuff.
If you can find a server.
Which I changed it to America, and I got into a couple games today.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Got fucking destroyed, but I'm at least making progress.
How's the ping? Is it bad?
It's fine. It's I
Okay.
mean I have a pretty beefy internet connection, so it hasn't been a major, but I mean it's not I'm like it's not amazing. I can notice it, but
Yeah.
yeah, it's fine. But
Best
I
of a bad
actually
situation.
exactly. And I'm actually really, really enjoying this game. I like the playlist stuff. It's kind of an it, like it's kind of a It's a. I feel like it's a bit more of an interesting take than what they've done with Forza Horizon, which this is clearly ripping off of.
Yeah.
But they're kind of. I like the idea of having like, hey, here are 10 events you do in a row. Here's some interesting stuff in between it. The story stuff is kind of very, very light. But I like the Made in Japan playlist especially was really, really cool. Where it's like you get to drive a bunch of different classic Japanese like souped up cars. You get to hear a little bit about the history about them. It ends with the Toyota Supra, which is like one of my favorites. And you get to like live your like Tokyo Drift Initial D dreams. It's really,
Yeah.
really cool.
I love that they went to Japan before Forza did, so.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really, really cool. And so they got the whole like, yeah.
I didn't realize this until you just talking about now. Motorfest is so smart how it's set up in terms of the playlist.
Yeah.
Because when, like, in terms of preservation, if you get down to the point, like, Japanese cars and all that, oh, we can't show it anymore, you just gate that
Yeah,
playlist and then
exactly.
just do another one.
Yeah, exactly. So I like it a lot, and I know that Forza did something sort of similar with their kind of story mode stuff with like the 3-star get 3 stars in each of these events and stuff. But I feel like the playlist is a bit more interesting. You get kind of good rewards, and then once you start the playlist, you get like playlist events. You get the feats to do, which is like your like speed cameras and slaloms and things like that. And then also you get your photo ops, and then once you finish the playlist, you unlock challenges for it, which I was like, okay, cool. Like it gives you a reason to go back and do them. My only real gripe is that there's like 7 playlists that you can play right off the bat. And then I think there's a total of like 15 or 16 or so. The other ones you have to like purchase vehicles with in-game currency with, which I was kind of like, it would have been nice if they could have just given you a car that just lets you do the playlist for anyone you want to, or at least like, or have something where it's like, hey, you've done 5 of the playlists. Let's give you some cars that will allow you to do the next batch or something. Or, you know, I don't know. It just kind of felt like I was
Fast
because I,
travel's tied to that, right?
yeah, fast travels, you got to do 10 playlists to do fast travel as well, which is also a little bit annoying. Yeah. But I like the Hawaii Island thing. It's I like the environments. Yeah, I've had a really, really good time. Also, the accessibility stuff is really good. Like, you can just like play on easy. I got Allison to do like a couple of races, and just kind of like just put like auto brake on to make it nice and easy, and just kind of have a chill time. Yeah, it was like, but I really, actually, really, really enjoyed it. I like yeah, the challenges were fun. I kind of like this idea of like, yeah, like find and explore stuff and find collectibles in the world for one thing. Then you have like the events of like the playlist stuff, and then you have the kind of competitive and the weekly cycling 9 events that they kind of have. So yeah, I really just kind of need to play a little bit more of the cycling events when the next one comes around next week, and then it's the Demolition Derby stuff. And I have a few achievements for like the co-op of like get a crew together and do a couple of things, but I'm hoping to put together a bit of a posse.
Can I put a challenge? So Allison just in the chat, I'm good at racing games. Can I put out a challenge to Allison?
She's
Forza
listening.
Horizon 5 Eliminator.
Yeah, no, it's I trust me,
I don't understand why you haven't given her a control to do your
I
Forza
have. You
Horizon
should
4.
I should stream that. But yeah, like I
Oh
like
dear.
it just kind of reminds me that like I do actually like racing games quite a bit. Like, you know, I talked about this. I talked about Did
you do
Burnout.
Unbound?
I have started Unbound, so
Okay.
I need to, like, that's
Yeah.
probably my next one to do. Although I might do the Crew 2 first, actually. We'll see.
Crew 2 will be like easy. It's very much just tick the boxes kind of game.
Yeah, which is fine, you know. Like, I enjoy a nice, easy racing game and just have a cool time driving fast cars. Vermintide?
Yeah, so we finally, finally,
Look, I don't
finally.
hate this game. Cameron and I have our own
I
posse where we're going ahead and
look,
playing Vermintide every single Monday night.
every single one.
We
Can I?
haven't done it for like
Yeah,
2 months or so. But anyway.
we haven't done it for 2 months because Todd's been in America, Brad's been busy, like
So the way this
Christmas,
started
etc.
is
Yeah.
that there were four young gents sitting down going, "Oh, well, you know, let's just play Vermintide, this 200-hour plus game." Somebody piked out, and then Cameron comes up to me and he's like, "Oh, well, you know, do you want to play Vermintide?" I'm like, "Oh, well, you know, it was on Games of Gold.
No,
I'll just like, yeah, sure." And now every Monday night, we're playing Vermintide, apparently. So, and yeah, like.
I will
Doing.
say, out of every week when it gets to Monday, I dread Monday.
Oh,
I dread this game.
I'm ready to go.
I fucking hate this game.
I'm so
So
glad that when you were like, "Hey, do you want to play Vermintide?" I was like, under no circumstances. There was no,
I'm
there was
like,
no.
"Yeah, I'm an
Saying
idiot.
that,
I'll do this. Like, sure. Like, I'll put stupid things
yeah.
on my gamer tag, like the
I
Crew 1 on Xbox 360, even though it's
See, I didn't
broken
do
to
that.
shit."
I didn't do that. I will say, out of all the sessions of Vermintide that we've done, the last week was probably the best one. It
Yeah,
felt
we've
like
built.
we
Yeah, we're
made some
actually. Yeah.
progress. We've done the easy run of the campaign now.
That was the thing,
I
like getting right through the
yeah.
campaign once at least, and then
The
just
first
picking
time.
challenges and stuff.
Like the understanding. Because like none of us understood how the quest logs and the contracts worked. I've now got an understanding of that, and basically like one of us is going to log in at 9 o'clock each night and have a look at them because you need to use six keys to unlock to essentially beat a quest, and then it'll give you like a sweet piece of gear.
So there are five characters in this game, and we've all chosen one character. We're sticking to one character, and the one piece that I get to unlock is not for a character that I have. So they don't take into account the character you're playing at all. It's just like a random thing. You can't share loot between people or anything like that. It's yours. If you don't want that one, you burn it down and you put that what are the pieces of it towards something else. So there's like this staff over here that I can unlock. Once I unlock that, maybe the next piece I'll be able to get is actually something that I use, either a bow or like the daggers. But yeah, so.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else to say about this game. It's one of those games that we'll do like a mission on a Monday and we'll get through it in like 4 years' time.
It's fun enough. Brad's like, "Oh, so Dark Tide?"
It's a fuck. I'm doing one of these at a time. I've already started Darktide as well. Started all these. I mean, the only reason I did this was because it's already part of the Hall of Fame stuff that I
True.
unlocked the achievement for
Yeah,
originally,
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not much else to say about that. It's gonna be a grind.
Yeah, we won't talk about it much over the weeks, but it'll be there for a while.
Unless
So,
we like finish
I was gonna say,
like
chime in once you've made some big milestones. So,
progress, yeah.
split second.
Yeah, so split second, I've been focusing a little bit on with Natalita, Happy Moogles, and Todd. Todd already had the online completed, but he basically just helped us out. And yeah, there's been like with the themed boosting month, we've been helping each other boost. We knocked out the online achievements for that. So I think everybody that was interested in Split Second now just needs to do the like the offline mode.
I
But
hear the offline mode is pretty rough, though. Like, it's
yeah,
quite difficult.
it's very old now. Definitely looks it's definitely a 360 game. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to just knock that out of the park. There's not really much else to say. I'm like with the racing month, I'm trying to just push out some of the online before Vermintide, me, Brad, sorry, us, minus Brad are going to meet up and try and tackle some Project Cars 2 as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
So we can try and knock out as much online as possible. Yeah, that's a good second.
I have put some serious time into Persona 3 Reloaded finally. It is it's my it's my game that I'm it's my sort of my Game Pass streaming game that I've been playing. It's really fucking good. They have take the, my issues with it are the same it, my issues with the feeling the way I feel about it is the same issues I had with Resident Evil 4 Remake, right? Where it's like Resident Evil 4 Remake is a on paper amazing game and it is a fantastic game. This is the same thing where they've gone and taken a really good game and made it even better. I know there are some arguments to be said around like it's missing content, like it doesn't have the extra expansion at the end of it and you can't play as the female main character and stuff and you know like I get it. But I still think this is like if I was going to tell someone to play this series, this is the one to play.
It's one of the strongest Game Pass launches, right?
And it's the like second I think they sold like 1 million units in the first couple of
Right,
months.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the few games that we had a lot of copies on the shelf that I was surprised by. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's apparently doing really, really well for them. And at least on Game Pass, like I think it's had the second biggest Persona launch. I think it nearly got to as much as five
Yeah.
did.
Like
Yeah, I'm
the
yeah.
only negative thing I heard about was I think they accidentally sent out some Japanese copies to different parts of Southeast Asia when they went to
Oh
get
yeah, I
English.
heard, yeah.
Like there was some physical distribution issue.
Yeah.
Everything else has been like amazing. I will ask though, have you seen the Game Pass ads that are going around?
No, I haven't.
Okay, there's a Game Pass ad that's like just a quick like 15-second splice, but it's got Aiden, I think it's Aiden Gallagher out of Umbrella Academy,
Oh,
like
okay.
number five,
Yeah, number five, yeah.
just running through it. I'm just like,
Oh, that's
I
interesting.
love him as an actor, but it's just such a sh like, why are
Yeah.
they doing the real life to
I don't know. I guess
anim
because I don't know.
animation cutscene?
I guess it's kind of
Just
like a
strange.
school that does fight that fights monsters. I don't know. It's really, really good. I mean, Persona 3 is a incredibly solid game. It is my least favorite of the trilogy of 3, 4, and 5. And this game is still the same game, has like the same characters, the same story. Like it looks a lot better. It runs a lot more like Persona 5, and they've cut out a lot of the fluff. Tartarus, the tower that you climb, still has too many fucking floors. Way too many. But now at least each floor has a slightly more interesting visual style to them. So they kind of look a bit more distinct and they're not just kind of just boxes. You kind of have that more Persona 5 style of behind the camera, or sorry, behind like behind the person camera as opposed to like top down. Combat is a bit is quite a bit smoother. They've redone the animations. They've like it's really like they've done a really, really good job of redoing this game. Unfortunately, it's the same story. It's the same cutscenes. I'm liking all the additional content. They had some stuff where there were a lot of your teammates didn't get persona matches with you in the game. So like you didn't have like the social link thing. So like you didn't really have a lot of reason to talk to a lot of your companions. It's kind of fucked. So what they've done now is like added extra like new events with them that aren't social links, but also give them other bonuses. They've added like new power-ups and new like they have like a new like a like a new like everyone has a new super move and you can learn new super moves and stuff. It's really, really good. I'm having a great time with it, but I am like you can fast forward through like the visual novel part. Like I'm like the stories that I've seen before that I know how they go. I'm just kind of skipping through it pretty quickly. So I'm definitely going to finish this much quicker than I did the third game, or the original release. But that's not because it's bad. It's just because I know it.
Is it like an exact one-to-one in
Just
terms of story or
about.
okay.
They've moved some things around a little bit.
Like for
But
clarity or
yeah, for clarity and also just for like because they've taken some stuff out around there used to be an element where if you went to the dungeon, you would be like tired the next day. And if you tried to like go again, you could potentially get sick. And so it was like a whole
Oh,
thing where
okay.
you like had to try, but
Yeah.
like it's like, oh no, I'm sick, so I can't do anything. They just took all that out. They're like, that's shit, let's just remove that. So it's like some little quality of life stuff that you kind of like if you played five, you'll feel right at home playing three is kind of what I'm saying. But it's all very minor stuff, but it is basically one-to-one story, like narrative-wise, cutscenes. But like I said, they've added some additional like fun things, fun interactions with the team that weren't in the original game. So I would say if you're gonna play Persona 3, this is the one to do. But I did just play it a year ago, so it is still pretty familiar to me. All right, I want to hear about Skull and Bones.
What do you want to know?
Are we going to be playing it?
All right, so me and Killer Anubis, Killer Anubis is a Ubisoft creator, so he got early access to the game, and I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, I might get Ubisoft Plus and start playing with him, which I did. Now, how you approach this game is going to impact like your opinion of it, yeah? This is a very bare bones experience, in my opinion. Like in terms of a pirate, yeah? So if you go in thinking this is going to be exactly like Assassin's Creed 4, you're gonna be in for disappointment. If you go into this thinking, I really love the naval combat of Assassin's Creed 4, I just want a game that's like centered around that, where I get off the ship, I'm just handing in a quest, or I'm talking to a shipwright to get the next version of my ship, or I'm swapping my cosmetics around or something like that. Yeah,
Sure.
it's
Like
very bare
menu
bones.
stuff, basically.
Yeah, menu stuff.
Skull and
Yeah,
Skull and bare bones.
In terms of the naval combat, though, it's fun as all. Like it's fun. It's that AC4 kind of feel, which I didn't really like initially like AC4 Black
Really?
Flag.
I love
I
AC4.
didn't like the naval, but like Skull and Bones, it's one of those games that feels like I should be shitting on this. Like this took 11 years to develop, and it's like it is 100% Skull and Bare Bones, but it's
Does
one
it
of those, yeah.
lock you into combat when you like when you're ship on ship kind of, or do you
Like you can basically like choose to like flee, but it's like whether you escape the ship. Like the only issue that like me and Newbie played for about 4 to 5 hours the other day. I just kept on playing because I was having so much fun. But it was one of those things of like it's like Gotham Knights. My co-op partner could be on the other side of the map. But it's like whether they should be in that kind of area. Like there is that kind of it has like a rough level, like going through the quests has like a rough area where you should be going and what the level is. And then if you just decided to do like a like free fall, just go and search, you'll run into like level 10 ships that will destroy you essentially. But every upgrade essentially upgrades your tier of ship, and then you get stronger, and then you just move on to the next thing. From what it feels like for the most part, I mean, this should be, I would imagine, like a 20 to 30 hour completion. There is one achievement that is getting 10,000 jute, which the solution for is go to this one spot, have your sickle to level 5, cut it, log out, log back in, and rinse and repeat. So that's the only like issue with that. And there is one broken achievement because they haven't turned on the chat server, which is just like do a ahoy to another
Got it.
Pirate.
Should be
Yeah,
pretty
okay.
easy then.
So that like I was curious, like, all right, who's like putting times into this? Vudix, after like 2 days, had 970 game score.
Yeah,
So
that's
it
pretty.
should be a relatively quick achieve like solution. Sorry, list. But he was only missing those two achievements, so
Righto.
okay.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it's one of those things of if this is like a 10 to 20 sorry like $10 to $20 title that you pick up, you can blitz through in a few days. I think that's what the enjoyment is. But I think you might get to a point with this kind of game where it's like if you're playing the solo after 15 hours, everything is just going to feel the same. You're going to be like, all right, yeah, let's finish it.
Definitely good Ubisoft Plus bait then.
To me, it doesn't make any sense to why this game took 11 years to make. That's the only comment I really have. I will say the intro sequence, they have all the different Ubisoft studios, and they got like a different like environment coming over it. Like that cutscene is looks awesome because it's like just going through, I think, like 15 different studios showing different backgrounds and that.
Right. That's cool.
But yeah, it is Pirate Ship Simulator.
Okay, I mean it's on my maybe list for Ubisoft Plus if I have enough time. because I got a couple other
I
games I
mean,
got to finish.
I would probably just log into an old account, try Path now, and see if the combat's right for you.
I'm sure I'll enjoy
But
it enough. I mean,
yeah.
I enjoy Black Flag a lot, so.
Yeah.
And then you hit a big milestone.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein: The New Order, one of the best first-person
15,
shooters ever made.
1586 games played.
Jesus
That was the
Christ.
milestone, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
All right, so I did the Wolfenstein, the New Order on 360. Few comments that I will talk about. This is across four Xbox 360 discs. Graphically speaking, this game holds fucking up, even on the 360. It's very, like, scarily close to what I remember the Xbox One version being like. But it was a end of generation game as
Yeah,
well,
it was
so.
cross-gen because he had another version of it, yeah.
Essentially, the first disc is your install disc. The second, third, and fourth have like roughly five levels each. Oh man, where do I begin this game? This is like the perfect, like I've said before, it is the perfect achievement list, and there's a number of reasons for that. First off, the story fucking slaps, yeah. Like you're going up against like Castle Wolfenstein, you're like thrown back, 15 years pass, fighting against Nazis. Story is just fucking awesome. I play this in the lounge room. Of course, Nikita comes out of the parts where is like full on sex scenes on the TV because perfect timing. What else? This game rewards the fuck out of you for choosing how you want to play it. And can you point to me any other games that go like, all right, you want to take the stealth approach? Cool. You do the stealth approach. We're going to give you like you've thrown some knives. We're going to give you some extra knives, yeah, because that's what you want to do. That's what you're having fun doing, and that's going to be the perk that unlocks that achievement. You want to go on guns blazing? We're gonna boost up your health or something like that. We like this game rewards how the fuck you want to play it, and I can't think of any other game that does that. Like just full on rewards you like. You've done this particular task. We're going to give you a buff for that.
Yeah, it's got a nice weird comparison, but it's like kind of how Oblivion used to do things, where it's like the more you did something, the better you would get at it. It was kind
Yeah.
of
Yeah.
it's like a
It's
nice sort
like
of RPG light kind of mechanic.
skill tree FPS kind of.
Yeah, there you go.
Because there are like, you have the highest tier of grenade throws and that, and you've got to do like the lower tier and give you way up, but fuck this game is so good. Even on Uber difficulty, even on Uber difficulty, like being max, it's that right level of like skill challenge. Stevie just said Plague Tale: Requiem upgrade skill tree depending on how you play. I'm trying to like the only part that really annoyed the fuck out of me was on the second last level. As you're going back through the essentially the resistance hunt has hid underground. You're going back through after they've been found out, and the whole place is essentially in flames. And there's a giant mechanical dog at the very end of the level that you've come across in multiple parts of the campaign, but you've run into a cutscene where you just tap X or something and it solves for you. This one is like the first time you actually have to legitimately take it down. And at that point in time, I had four grenades. You need 6 to 8 grenades to take this dog out. And it will basically hit you in 2 to 3 hits and kill you. There are several like little channel things you can like slide underneath that will slow it down for 2 seconds in that section. But it's like near impossible to outrun it. And I was stuck on this for like a good hour and a half. And I'm like, sure, like, I don't want to repeat this level. I just want to figure out how to do it. Looked up a YouTube channel, like, the grainiest quality ever and all that. The guys just like jumped up on this pipe and the dog hasn't been able to reach it.
Yep, classic cheese strategy. Yep.
So I'm just like, all right, it's been an hour or whatever. I jump up to the pipe. I lay everything into him that I've got ammo-wise, doesn't kill him.
Oh
And
my
then I'm
God.
just like, all right, the only way is like melee. Yeah, no, taken out. Second try, I got it. But
Oh, no,
didn't
it's all
like
right.
using a
All
strat.
right.
The final level. Now, Matt, you have played Wolfenstein: The New Order, right? I'm not
Yes,
sure
I
about
have.
Theo.
Yeah, we all have. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll have. Okay, cool. So the final level. The only thing that doesn't like work really well for me, the 360 version, is when you're fighting the final boss and there's the barrier field around it,
Yeah.
and you've got to run along those sides, the frame rate slows down as you're running,
Just
and
get
it's
shot
so
through
easy
them.
to die. Yeah. Tesla grenades are meant to like slow it down, but I don't really think
It
they.
doesn't, yeah, like that whole
It's
last
a
boss fight is not
placebo.
very good, to be
Yeah.
honest.
But yeah, just that part running alone took the longest time, and then the final section underground took like half an hour. But cleanup took me like probably 4 hours the next day, just doing all the perks and all that.
Not too
Going
bad.
through physical exercise about like swapping the discs in and out, like going through the cleanup. But man, it is honestly the perfect game. It's such a shame that Wolfenstein: The New Colossus has the Mind Laban achievement, because if it was just Uber again, it would just be the
Just do
perfect
it.
joy.
It'd be really
Just
rough,
do
but yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, from looking at the video, I was interested. I was watching the videos at the same time for Wolfenstein 2, and I'm like, there's a lot of parts here that kind of feel like they should be a lot simpler than the New Order. I do want to get it done. I've committed to Stubby to doing Youngblood, so I do want to go for a series completion. Whether I do the Windows version twice or Wolfenstein 2 will be the question. But yeah, amazing game to hit a million with.
Yeah, congratulations. Great job. Long time
I got
coming.
KFC, as you should
Oh, of
expect.
course.
Yep,
Yeah,
yep,
yeah,
yep.
yeah.
Did you go in there and make it yourself or?
No. I got my special twister, and I ate some chicken, and I was happy. But yeah, I think that's. What was the other thing I was gonna say? The actor that plays Vesquez looks so different to what I was expecting him
Yeah, right. It's
to
funny
look
when
like. I'm
he
just
plays that
like,
because.
oh, I'm curious. Like, is it going to be like a body comparison? Just like, nope, looks nothing like him.
Yeah, it's funny.
But yeah, that's essentially it. Honestly, actually, last thing, they should definitely make a Wolfenstein TV series. I'll watch the
Okay, yeah,
fuck out of that.
all right.
Yeah, they yeah, they could do that. Yeah.
And then I've got one last thing to try. Kyo, is there anything you wanted to?
I actually don't really have anything else but outside of the stuff that we've been really just playing together. Yeah, I'm still just doing stuff with the Crew One, between the 360 and the One version, and doing some multiplayer stuff and things like that. But today the 360 version went down and everybody had a little cry, and I still haven't been able to log in. So that's the version I have the most progress in. I'm keen to get back into that as soon as I can. So, but yeah, other than that, yep, I'll keep slogging
Fingers
away and
crossed.
then I'll go do Crew Motorfest. So I'll probably download and try to get in on your little posse.
Yeah, sounds good.
So yeah.
And then I've been playing one last thing in Ubisoft Plus, Prince of Persia, Lost Crown. I put about 10 hours into it. I have just unlocked the final ability and I'm kind of at like the point where you go and like get into the end game final boss stuff. I think there's like maybe two or
I
three.
haven't heard Game of the Year contender yet.
It's fucking good.
Ah,
It's
I.
re it's
When I talked to you the other night, and you're like, "Oh, I'm about an hour in," and I'm like, "I don't know."
it's
I was like,
yeah,
"Don't,
really? It
no."
it's a slow start. It is it like I think that it this so this game is big. Like map wise, it I was like, okay, cool. I think I've explored most of the map. I was fucking wrong. Like there is again the areas like it's a Metroidvania, right? So it's only 2D, but it spreads out way further than I was expecting. But they give you a sprint right from the get-go. So getting around is relatively quick, but fuck, it's so much fun once you get a few of the traversal abilities. And I don't even want to spoil them because Some of them are like, I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of getting the hang of this, I guess, but I'm kind of like, I was like, oh, I'm surprised that I haven't got like this ability. And then it shows up. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, well, first I was like, okay, the first ability you're going to get is a double jump, right? Like, this is a Metroidvania. I was like, no. It's like, no, you do not get a double jump straight away. They're like, it's like, no, you get like this ability and you get this ability and like you do this thing. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I got an ability. I was like, oh shit, this changes a lot of stuff. My favorite thing in Metroidvanias is when you get a traversal ability that basically breaks the game. The classic example of this well, there's a few good examples, but in Bloodstained, where it's just like, yeah, you can just flip the gravity or control gravity. Or it's or in the original Symphony of the Night, it's like, yeah, you can turn into a bat and just fly wherever you want in the castle. So you can just like fly over traps and enemies. Yeah, so this game kind of has a few of those interesting abilities towards the end there. So I've just got the last ability and beat one of the main bosses. I'm doing a bit of cleanup before there's a lot of collectibles. My only real complaints are that it has a bit of a slow start. The story is not like there's not really a lot in the same way that like most Castlevania, like Metroidvania games are like you run into a room, have a brief conversation, and then you explore the castle or whatever for another couple of hours, and then you meet someone else and have like a couple of lines of conversation and keep exploring. It's really, really light. And also the cleanup is going to be a bit of a pain. It has the thing where you like the Ubisoft thing of like where you can mark things on the map where you've seen stuff, or it has a nice thing where if you get to a puzzle you can't solve, you can like take a screen, it'll take a screenshot of you
I
and put it
heard
on
about
your
that.
map. It's
Yeah, that
so
sounds so
clever.
good.
It's
Yeah.
really good. My main issue is that like I've cleared out most of the areas, but I'm missing like one or two things. And so I'm like, clearly the things I'm missing are either hidden areas, so I don't have screenshots to help me because I didn't know it was there, otherwise I would have picked it up.
Yeah, that screenshot idea makes me just want to Xbox screenshot every place I have issues with, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that just
It's
good.
really, really smart. I'm liking the combat quite a bit as well. The amulet system allows you to change things up. I've got an ability right now that whenever I do a deflect, it creates a time bubble around me that slows enemies down. So if I deflect someone, I can basically just get really easily into a co-op, a combo or like a knockout to just hit them into the air and juggle them. So yeah, I'm having a really, really good time with it. Curious to see kind of how the cleanup goes. I'm probably going to have it done in maybe another 5 or 6 hours. We'll see how it goes. I'll definitely have it done by the end of the next, by our next episode. But yeah, definitely recommend it. I don't know if it's like game of the year material, but it's definitely like an 8 or a 9. Like it's a very, very good game. I wish I was playing it right now.
The Triple A Metroidvania.
Yeah, it's a really high quality. Like it's like a triple A, double A, like really, really well made. Like animation wise, really smooth. Had a couple of glitches, like wall stuff, where you like kind of like glitch through walls and stuff after you do special moves, but nothing major. I'm liking the traversal a lot, especially when I was worried that the game was a little bit too easy on the traversal stuff, whereas like I'm used to a Prince of Persia game kicking my ass, and then you get to like, hey, chain these five abilities together. I'm like, okay, now it's getting good. Like now it's time to be like, okay, it's like, hey, there's a lot of spikes and there is nowhere to grow. It's like, hey, it's like, here's land here, here's land here, here's spikes, here's, you need to jump up this thing, you need to bounce off this thing, you need to jump off this thing. Also, this thing collapses, so make sure you move quickly. And if you fuck it up, right back to the start.
That's what I'm keen to see.
Yeah, it gets really, really fun towards the end. And I know that like some of like the final kind of gauntlet stuff gets really rough. So looking forward to getting my ass handed to me on that.
I'm just curious, what is the best Metroidvania ever made in your opinion? Like in terms of these 2D ones.
I think maybe Symphony of the Night is probably the best. It's also one of the first, so it's kind of cheating.
I would actually nearly say
I know
Metroid
my answer.
Fusion,
I like
actually.
Metroid Fusion a lot. I think Super Metroid is probably still better though.
I actually have never played that one.
I would, yeah, like so the games that kind of created the genre were Castlevania Symphony of the Night and the Metroid series, but Metroid, Super Metroid in particular. And they're still two of some of the best ones, but like I really like Bloodstained. Richard Lanai is really good, which is I'm glad that's been added back to Game Pass. I'm trying to think, I played a lot of Metroidvanias.
Oh, it's Castlevania 64, right?
Oof,
I know
oof.
my answer for this.
That's a Cameron Metroidvania right there.
What do you mean?
It's
Is that meant
not,
to be an
it's like
insult?
the only Castlevania that's not a Metroidvania.
Okay. Guacamelee.
Guacamelee is a really
I
good.
love anything that Gearbox does.
Yeah, Guacamelee is like a fantastic example of the genre. One of the best, actually. Yeah, highly recommend it. I'll probably have more to say, and we'll see kind of what my closing thoughts are next week. I will also say before we sort of close up the show, it looks like the games being removed for Game Pass this
I'm
month
just about
is
to say.
Soul Hackers 2.
Oh, okay.
There's only one at this moment.
At this point, yeah. I will say the Soul Hackers 2 is a relatively easy completion.
We should get LB MLB
Yeah,
next month as
should
well,
be
right?
added pretty soon,
So
right?
we'll get the delisting for the.
Delisting for that probably end of the month, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say Soul Hackers 2 is a relatively straightforward game. If you kind of like those turn-based style, Persona style games, I mean, it's the Persona universe, like Shin Megami Tensei whole thing, but just not quite. It like doesn't have the quite the same style. But it does have one of my favorite, like deep lore jokes, that I talked about with Reptar when we had him on. But yeah, that's I think it's everything we've been playing. I will quickly go through our leaderboard. In third place, we have our Ozbuff Fanatic with 9,838. We have Martell in second with 13,048, and we have Thrash Forever with 14,055.
Nice.
Kio, do you want
All
to go
right.
through
Yep,
completions?
I'll go do that. It is Left 4 Legacy did Gotham Knights and As Dusk Falls. Seafood Sticks did Microsoft Solitaire. Rapture did Omega Strikers. Firehawk did Opus Echo of the Star Song. Bulbasaur did Kung Fu Panda. The Moonsome did Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Oh, I did also did the online for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, so also
Nice.
not
Yeah,
Thank You
because you're
Tour.
playing with them. And Phoenix Frost did Modern Warfare Remastered, Modern Warfare 2, and Tiny Tina Wonderland.
Nice.
So,
I also should shout out Shane did a speedrun guide for Opus Echo of the Star Song, which is
nice.
great
That's
because
good.
there are very few guides for that
Nice.
game. Patreon,
Awesome.
Cameron. Yep. All right. So thank you to Lee Howard, Mikhail KV, Natalita, Mad Lefty 2097, Admiral Awesome, Heavy Meagles, Comfy Skills, Hack and Purren, Cavalier 07, Old Mick Clown, Mark B, Mick Love and Lancer, Message, Left for Legacy, and McNulty.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much. We
Yeah,
could
yeah.
not do the show without you. And as always, we're doing the show live on Twitch. Xbox Hall of Gamers is the place to find us. Thank you for people joining us. We had Chili Dogs in here. We had Stubby. Keo's here, which is nice of him. That's great. But yes, next, yeah, feel free to come hang out in the chat. We do the show live every week. All right. What's going on your guys' channels? What do you got to show? Keo, you go first.
Well, at the moment, streaming Resident Evil Zero next week, actually, with that one. There's been a bit of a delay on that one. At Kill Live at Home on Twitch. You can find notifications over on Twitter, at Kill Live at Home. You can find the VODs at HDFG Play on YouTube and also on Instagram now for some shorts at Kill Live at Home. That's
Fantastic.
it.
Cameron?
I'm just going to be playing games. I got nothing else going on.
Cool.
Shadow's been pretty much
Sounds good.
Shadow's say you, sorry.
Same with me. Now, master on everything True Achievements, Xbox, and Discord. I will be gaming up a storm with our Ubisoft stuff. And if anyone wants to help me with the Crew Motorfest, please hit me up because I would like to get it done. Well, I think that's going to wrap up the show. That's been episode 111. We will catch you guys next week. See you later.
Bye, everyone.
Peace out.